us for quiet reflection, please. Thank you. Once again, welcome to all members, representatives from various municipalities, including the mayors, deputy mayors, municipal managers, and other officials from the members of the public. Members, if we can start by introducing ourselves for the record purposes. I will start with myself. My name is Christopher Fry. I'm the chairperson of this committee on energy crisis, and I will ask the members to introduce themselves, starting with member Andrikus van der Westhuizen.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Andrikus van der Westhuizen, member of the committee.
Good morning,
Chair.
Good morning, Chair Kayla Murray. Good morning, Chair
Derek. Good morning, Chair Khadil Bankes. Good morning, Chair Derek
America. Good morning, Chairperson and members and staff, Cameron Dagmore. Thank you.
Morning, Chairperson. My name is Nomin Kondla, member of the committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, members, staff, and everyone on the platform. My name is Mbulelo Isaac Sileku, member of the committee. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair and colleagues. My name is Marcelina Seko, member of this committee.
Good morning, Chair. We've been out here from Drakensberg Municipality. I'm the Director of Engineering Services. And with me, I've got Charles Geldenhuys, who's the Senior Manager Electrotechnical Services, and also Mr. Gary Peterson, Head of Projects and Funding.
Good morning, Chair. I'm David Nassen, the Municipal Manager of Witzenberg Municipality, and with me is Kobus Kretzinger, the CFO, as well as Kanya Dingeliswe, the Senior Manager Electrotechnical Services, as well as Mr. Nathan Jacobs, our Senior Manager for Water Infrastructure.
Thank you very much. The members from the Drakensberg Municipality?
Good morning, Chair. I'm not sure if you heard me the first time, but...
Sorry, yes, I did. Sorry, Mr. Pina, I did.
Thank you.
I'm not sure, Ms. Kutley, is the Stellenbosch Municipality here?
Yes. Good morning, Chair. It's Shane Chandakar here. I'm the Director for Infrastructure Stellenbosch, joined by Mark Benson, our Head of Planning in the Electrotechnical Department. Apologies from the Municipal Manager. There was a MACO happening at this point in time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Are there any officials from the Breda River Municipality?
Mr. Chair, they advised us they did not receive a link. We have forwarded the link to them, so hopefully they will be on the platform sooner rather than later. It's David Nassen here from Batista.
Thank you very much. Ms. Kruti?
Sorry, Chairperson. Good morning, all three of you. Yes, Breda can I confirm that they will join sending the link. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And then, the Langeberg Municipality?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone. Langeberg Municipality is present. We are three people that are on this link. It is myself, Daniel Libbe, the Municipal Manager of the Municipality, together with Councillor Johan Kutsier, who is our member of the MACO Committee for Engineering Services, and Mr. George Lotter, our Manager for Electrical Engineering, who will also be doing our presentation. So all three of us are on this link. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, I do see that member Marie has joined us.
Good morning, Chairperson. I thought I was on time, but maybe you have a Rolex watch. I don't. I'm a minute late. I apologize.
No problem. And I can assure you that I do not have a Rolex watch, sir. Thank you. Members, if I may just, and all in attendance, may I just remind you of the rules of engagement. If we can all be muted at the beginning of this, members to flag points of order in the chat function of MS Teams. All video and audio must be switched off to improve the quality of the connection. Once anybody's speaking, they may put on their mic and video, and then participants to switch off their mics and videos once they have finished speaking. And then all presenters to share their own presentations and to unshare their presentations when the briefing is concluded. We have received apologies from member Peter de Villiers and Mr. Henry Prince. Ms. Kuti, are there any other specific apologies from your side?
Yes, Chairperson. Executive Mayor Dr. Alna von Schlicht submitted her apology. She will not be able to attend. And then just an email that came through now with another apology. And then Dr. Johan Leibrand from the Drakenstein Municipality also rendered his apology due to unforeseen circumstances. He won't be able to attend. So that's the apologies with Mr. Prince.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kluti. Without further ado, we are here to understand and engage with the municipalities on the projected plans for the 23-24 energy infrastructure allocations, including the emergency funding allocated to assist municipalities. How we will continue going forward is that we will have these presentations by municipality, and then members will be afforded an opportunity to ask questions and interrogate the relevant presentations. We will start with the Cape Winelands Municipality. If you could get your presentation flighted, you may go ahead, please. The members from the Cape Winelands Municipality? In that case, we'll come back to them. Anybody from the Witzenberg Municipality?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Our CFO, Mr. Kubus Kretzinger, will do the presentation. I just omitted to tender the apology of our executive mayor as well as speaker. Both are at the SALGA committee week in Worcester this week. So I humbly apologize on their behalf, but Kubus Kretzinger will proceed with the presentation.
Thank you. You may proceed, Ms. Kretzinger.
Thank you, Chair. I hope you can you see what I'm sharing or not?
We can see it, sir.
Okay, thank you. So as Mr. Nathan explained, I'm Kubus Kretzinger, the Finance Department. Now, we did receive a grant of 450,000 rand for the supply and servicing of emergency backup generators. Although it's not a large amount, we were very thankful for receiving some support. And we went out on official procurement process where we wanted to get service providers appointed for the provision of this, but unfortunately we advertised on 19th of April 2023. The bid closing date was 8th of May, a shorter period because of the urgency, but it was all legal. But unfortunately we didn't receive even one bid for this purpose. So we then decided to try and do what we call a deviation process, where we then do not follow the normal supply chain routes, but seeing that this is an emergency and the need is there, we wanted to motivate to our municipal manager that we don't follow the normal processes. We did identify one service provider who was able to provide us with the equipment, but unfortunately that service provider tax matters was not in order. And I believe, as we all know, we are not allowed to do any business with people if their tax is not up to date. So yes, now we are busy with a new supply chain process. I must add that we just applied for rollover of the funds to our current financial year,
And hopefully the approval for a rollover will be received sooner rather than later. It's already included in our adjustment budget that will be considered by council on the 25th of this month. And hopefully, if everything goes well, we believe we will be able to spend the money before the end of October this year. And I can just add, it's not part of the presentation, but the municipality will add some of its own funds just to help us to procure more generators. And maybe just some background, our main purpose for the additional generators is during load shedding at critical points for water and especially the sewerage service, that we can continue with the service and don't have spillage of sewerage into nature. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, sir. Members, I'm going to request if there are any questions to this presentation. Members Murray, Marie, and then and Member Nkondlo. We'll take those three hands for now. If I could ask that you can have three questions per round for this round. Thank you very much, Member Murray.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try and keep it short and sweet. Chair, I just wanted to understand what was the process in advertising the bid to which no applicants came through, and why they thought it might have been unsuccessful when they first put that bid out. Were there any stakeholders that they targeted in particular, if they could provide details? And then, Chair, my last question is, what are the details and possibly the legislation relating to the alternative approach the supply chain that they took? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Member Murray. Member Murray?
That question that I wanted to ask has been partially covered by the question of the previous speaker. And following from the response, I might have a follow-up, but I also wanted to know, at a time when people are looking for jobs and work, small businesses are in peril. Why would there have been no response or no bids received? What was the terms of the bid? Can you keep us informed? What did you ask for in the bid? What were the conditions of the bid that nobody applied? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Member Nkondlo.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to understand, following from the other members, what was the basis of the deviation, and where was this a particular preferred service provider coming from, considering that it is indicated that there were no bids that were received? So where was this particular service provider emanating from? Then my second question, Chair, is that now that the municipality indicates that they would, from their money, they would also look to source other generators, can we get specifics? Has that budget been already requested and approved by the municipality? How much is that budget, and how many of these generators are being proposed to be sourced in addition to the one, to the grant that has already been provided for? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Member Van der Westhuizen, and I can take your hand now because there's been only five questions so far. So, Member Van der Westhuizen.
Thank you, Chair. In a sense, Honourable Nkondlo has covered me in terms of, can you share a little bit more detail with us in terms of the number of generators, perhaps where in Witzenberg, because Witzenberg covers quite a big geographical area, where are the most pressing points, and are these generators for pump stations or for, you know, sewerage plants themselves? My impression is that quite often the sewerage plant in itself is quite energy intensive. So if you could just share with us a little bit more of the detail in terms of where you wanted these machines to be placed. Will they be permanent installations, or would a mobile unit be perhaps an option?
for you to move to where the biggest concerns are. Thank you.
Thank you, Member van der Westhuizen. And I'll ask my question now. My question is, now that we have a problem with procuring the generators and there were no bids, and now we've got the deviation process, what are we doing now, and what has been happening now in the case of wastewater treatment and sewage spillage, well, possible sewage spillage? What are we doing now to prevent that from happening, now that we didn't need any bids and there's a deviation process? So what are we doing now to mitigate that? Thank you very much, sir. You may answer those questions.
Thank you, Chair. I hope the MM will agree that I start answering and then he and the other members of the team can add on if it's correct with them. Now, the process that we follow was a normal supply chain process where we prepare a bid document and then the need or the bid document is then advertised in newspapers to attract possible suppliers. So we don't contact the suppliers directly. It's an open process and it's supposed to be transparent. And also we're not giving privilege to anybody that we know.
Sorry, Chair, I'm not able to hear.
Yeah, we lost him. We lost Mr. Corbis there. Mr. Nassen, it seems that we've lost your colleague. Mr. Nassen? Can anybody hear me?
Can you hear me?
Okay. Mr. Nassen, can you hear me? Is there anybody else from Wissenberg that can hear me?
Yes, Councillor Issa from Wissenberg. I can hear you loud and clear, Chair.
Okay, would you like to answer some of those questions, sir? Because we've lost Mr. Nassen and Mr. Corbis.
Seeing that connection is so poor, can we add to that question whether registration with NERSA was required in terms of the Electricity Regulation Act 4 of 2006? Did the people who tender, was a requirement registration with NERSA, please?
Registration with NERSA, I got that, sir. Ms. Clutie, did you get that?
Yes, captured.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there anybody else from Wissenberg who would like to make any comments? I don't hear anybody else. Members, what we will do is we will send those questions in writing to the Wissenberg municipality and we'll request answers to those questions in a reasonable amount of time. If we move on, is the Drakensberg municipality here and ready for yes, Member Murray?
Sorry, Chair. I just wanted to ask if we are going to submit follow-up questions to the municipality. If my one follow-up question could also be asked, because I don't think I was explicit enough when I first asked. That question was, what engagement or advertising was done with international players within the industry? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let me just make sure that I've got that. Ms. Kuti, have you...
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you. Member Merica?
Mr. Chairperson, we could also ask clarity in terms of which sort of media the bid application was, bid solicitation was advertised, whether it was just the local media within the Wissenberg area or Did it have a wider reach so that more potential players could have made a bid for the proposals that were sent out? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Member America. Ms. Kluze, just to make sure that we're all on the same page, did you get that as well? Yes, you did. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Are the members from the Drakenstein municipality, are you online? Can you hear me?
Morning, Chairperson. Yes, we're here. I'm just going to share my screen quickly.
Thank you, Mr. Pinar.
All right, I just want to check with you, Chair. Can everybody see this, the full screen?
Yes, we can, sir. You may go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, Chairperson, members of Parliament, mayors and municipal mayors, colleagues. Thank you for the opportunity. I just would like to acknowledge also our Deputy Executive Mayor, Alderman Gert Kombrink, who also is in the meeting. I'm not sure if he had a chance to introduce himself, but yes, he's also present. Okay, just a brief overview of Drakenstein's electrical network. We're the service provider in Paarl and Wellington and the surrounding farm areas, and Eskom is responsible for our outlying towns, Hermon, Gouda and Saar. If we talk about Drakenstein's grid, we've got 175 MVA peak demand that we can receive from Eskom that is distributed through six intake substations. And then our reticulation network is 79 kilometers of medium voltage lines and cables, almost 300 kilometers of low voltage lines, 852 mini subs, and then 342 ring main units. We adopted a SSEG small scale embedded generation policy in 2015, and we compiled our electrical energy master plan during 2015 to 2019. We're also currently busy with a cost of supply study for NERSA, which we would like to finalize by the end of the year. In Drakenstein, we developed a three-point load shedding resilience plan, and I'm going to talk about each of those legs briefly. Our first priority is really sustainable service delivery and to reduce the risk of our equipment failure and continuous service delivery. With that, we implemented generators to ensure our basic services are equipped and running. That's mostly for sewer, pump station, and wastewater treatment works. Then we also installed and was busy installing generators, solar panels, and inverters at our offices and service desks. And then one of the main points which we'd like to highlight is the UPS installations at all our major traffic lights. We also had to budget for additional diesel in the last financial year due to all these generators that operated during the load shedding periods. With the 6 million rand emergency municipal load shedding relief grant that we received from province, we procured two generators for our Paarl wastewater treatment works. It was a 500 kVA and a 680 kVA. Generators. We also equipped our Conrad water pump station with 150 kVA generator, and also the Perold water pump station, which was a 250 kVA. There's some photos at the bottom of the installations a while ago, but they're all at the moment installed and in working condition. Then with the 6 million grant that we received, we also matched the additional 6 million rand from our own funding, and with that we've been equipping our civic center with a new generator, a 600 kVA one. The old one we converted in a mobile, or we're busy converting it into a mobile unit, which will also be available to assist at the Paarl wastewater treatment works. The same we're doing with the Market Street Engineering Services Management building. We're procuring a 600 kVA generator there, and the same for the existing one, which is a smaller one. I think it's 160 kVA, which will also be converted into a mobile unit. And then we have already equipped our Paarl East satellite office, and in the process of equipping the Mbekweni satellite office with generators as well. The next few slides will highlight the UPS battery installation we're installing at all our arterial traffic lights. So we've got about 47 main intersections, which has traffic lights in Drakenstein Municipality across Paarl and Wellington. Now we've already equipped 57 of those intersections with UPSs. It's an underground system, which you can see on the photos here, which hosts the UPS and the batteries in the one, and the other one contains the controller units for the traffic lights. These underground units ensure that they can't be, there's no interference with them or, you know, vandalism. They're smart, we call them smart lock system. And as soon as somebody would like to vandalize them or interferes with them, we receive SMSs and we can send our law enforcement units to these units to ensure that they're safe. We aim to have all 47 intersections up and running by the end of this calendar year, hopefully before December. Just to note, this is a huge improvement during load shedding times. You know, our traffic can freely flow through the city. And our second leg for the load shedding resilience plan is revenue protection. I'm sure this is the map here on the right hand side is just the installation of SECGs or persons who registered their solar panels and inverter units with us. It's mostly installations in the effluent areas, as you can see on the map, if you know Paarl well. But we've seen a drastic increase in the registrations for this year. The 161 is a fairly old figure. We haven't been able to update it for the last few months, but that also increased quite drastically. Now, during the last two financial years, obviously, as we know, load shedding picked up quite considerably, and we realized there's a big decline in our electrical sales, which amounts to about 51% of our revenue budget. And most of these declines were at the business units, who obviously don't use electricity during load shedding periods, and they install their own generators or to be self-sufficient, so we don't have electricity to sell to them. If we look at this figure, this is our budget for the 23-24 year for the electrical revenue. So our original budget was in the order of 1.7 billion, and due to the load shedding impact, we had to revise that budget to 1.5 billion, which is a difference of about 155 million. Also, our bulk purchases from Eskom, we also had to adjust. Our original purchase budget was 1.1 billion, and we had to revise that to just over 1 billion, with a difference of 85 million due to the impact of load shedding. Our alternative energy is our third leg of our three-point plan. And this is really a short slide, but we want to, you know, we've got an open door for potential IPPs, independent power producers. And there's currently various discussions in place with role players in the industry, people who's interested in partnering with Drakenstein to implement IPP. But this requires a detailed funding model and a cost-benefit analysis, as we cannot go into irresponsible long-utilizing public money. Then we also got to keep at the back of our minds the MFMA Circular 118, which is very particular in the process you have to follow to implement IPPs. In addition, we're also investigating wheeling options. As we know, George Local Municipality is currently running a pilot on that, and we're eager to see what's happening there before we make a decision to go that route. Thank you, Chair. That's it from our side.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pinard. I don't know if there's anybody else, and Mr. Alderman Gert Kombrink, if you'd like to introduce yourself and have any words, any other comments you'd like to make, sir?
Thank you, Chair. I'm Gert Kombrink. I'm also the Finance Portfolio Chairperson in Drakenstein. I'm doubling up as a Deputy Mayor And thanks to Mr. Pienaar for a very professional presentation. And Chair, yeah, we do have the same pains as everybody else in the Western Cape, and I'm eager to see what the other municipalities are doing in this space. Thank you for the invitation to this meeting. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, I will now take questions on the Drakenstein municipality's presentation. Just to let you know that two things, the Witzenberg municipality people were thrown off. The IT department on their side have solved the problem, and Mr. Nassen and Mr. Kritzinger are back online. Once we deal with the questions from the Drakenstein municipality, can I ask that we revert back to the questions for Witzenberg? So that we give them a chance to answer their questions, and then the follow-up questions that was raised, if you would indulge us to do that. But for the Drakenstein municipality, I see Member van der Westhuizen, Member Marie. Are there any more? Member Nkondlo, I see Member Marie's internet has also gone. She's reconnecting on her phone. So members van der Westhuizen, Member Marie, and Member Nkondlo. Once again, three questions per round. Thank you, Member van der Westhuizen.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for this presentation. And I think I speak on behalf of many road users when I say thank you very much for your initiatives, also in keeping the traffic lights on during load sharing periods. It makes a huge difference in terms of productivity, and I know that a number of municipalities have taken this initiative, and I can just testify that it's really a fantastic improvement during load shedding, and I also believe a saving, whereas your traffic officers would have had to man intersections. They are now freed up to do law enforcement and other important tasks. My question is twofold. The first one is, if you speak about quite a big a generator, we're talking about 700 kVA, what are the prices at which these bids have come in generally? I presume that these bids also include the installation of these generators, as well as the adaptations to the buildings electricity reticulation network, so that, you know, the generators switch on automatically and switch off when Eskom power comes back on. My second question, and that may be, you know, one that I believe all municipalities are asking themselves currently, is how are we going to make good this loss of income as more and more people are switching to small-scale embedded generation? And then if I may add a third one, Chair, what are your backlog in terms of applications and inspections of these small-scale embedded generation plants? Is there a considerable backlog? Are you able to keep up? You've indicated that there's been a sharp uptake in terms of the installation of this, and this has been my experience as well in my neighborhood. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Member van der Westhuizen. Member Marais.
Speaker, thank you. Chairperson, I mean. Yes. Obviously, Drakenstein municipality deserves a pat on the back. What I've heard is very impressive. They actively involved in solving problems. And I see their motto is, we're a city of excellence. I want to compliment the mayor and his staff. But I want to come to the point to say that you are making use mostly of generators. And that is a question I already put previously to this committee. Generators feed off the grid at peak times, and it will cause spikes in electricity usage, which again influence how many times is going to be load shedding. because you've got to charge these huge batteries. Why did you consider generators as a solution instead of other solutions like solar energy, which don't feed off the grid itself, and then can be via inverters, you can make use of it, this energy. Maybe that'll be interesting if you can answer me that, because you use for the traffic flow, etc., etc., and that can be quite a lot. And there's also a decline in electricity sales, you say, 51% of revenue. How are you intending recouping this? We have this issue here in the metro, where they decided to put an additional tax on consumers of 37 rand a month, which the poor people will ill be able to afford. What are you going to do? How are you going to recover this? And the money that you contributed, the 6 million co-founders, or co-funded rather, was that from your reserves? And do you have any reserves left? Did you apply to our minister that they must, in terms of supporting municipalities, make funds available for you to pay all these costs? Or how, or do you intend recouping the losses from the consumers who's already overburdened? It's problematic. I know you're having a lot of various discussions, you say, for alternative energy, IPPs. But how far did these discussions go? What's the nature of these discussions? Thank you.
Thank you, Member Marie. Member Nkondlo?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the presenter. My three questions, Chair. I'm just interested on this USP battery devices that the municipalities the municipality has installed. If they can just indicate how much are these costing, and are they locally produced? And when I say locally, I mean in South Africa, or it's an international based technology. My second question, Chair, is that on the revenue side that I think the colleague was referring to, in order for them in the space, are they in any way also increasing above the current NERSA tariffs as part of what other municipalities we've seen are suggesting that they had to deal with their operational cost and therefore go beyond what NERSA has provided for as a tariff. The third one, Chair, is that with the 6 million, if I got it correct, that the municipality had to sort of co-finance their whole energy project to secure and try to avert load shedding. Did this 6 million come, because I understand from what the presenter was saying that this is over and above the grant that they would have received. So I want to understand, where does the 6 million come from their normal CAPEX budget? Did they take up an extra loan for this for these projects? If they can just explain that to me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Member Nkondlo. Member Dagmore?
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I'm not sure if this has been dealt with. I was offline for a bit, but I reconnected. We've raised in our discussions with other municipalities up to now the very real impact on moving to alternative energy suppliers as opposed to Eskom, in regard to how that impacts on the financial viability of the municipality itself, given that revenue from electricity sales constitutes a large portion of municipal revenue. So at the one level, I would like to ask this municipality, what is the percentage of the revenue or the income of the municipality generated from electricity sales? Secondly, what is their credit control policy in regard to electricity sales? It would be good to get a verbal answer, but also just to actually get a copy of that policy, because one of the big issues emerging, and this has been emerging for a while in this standing committee as well, is the fact that many municipalities, say, for instance, you have someone who's on an indigent grant, is receiving indigent support, and then falls in arrears because they consume more electricity, that when that person goes to buy electricity, that municipalities then, if they are in arrears on, say, a water account or another account, they then deduct, a person spends 100 rand, they end up getting only 10 rand worth of electricity. So could we just have clarity on that? And then finally, I would like to ask, in terms of the municipality's engagement with NERSA, we've had a very serious problem where, for instance, the city of Cape Town has refused to abide by the NERSA tariff, which has been approved and actually implemented a charge above the NERSA, the NERSA determined rate, and also other surcharges. So can the municipality just explain to us what is the tariff that NERSA agreed to, and whether the municipality has now implemented that, or whether, like the city of Cape Town, they have imposed a tariff in excess of what NERSA determined. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Member Dagmore. Mr. Pinar, if you could answer those questions, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'll do my best here, but I'm going to rely on some of my colleagues and also Alderman Ger Kombrink on the financial issues. Maybe to start off with Mr. van der Westhuizen's questions, thank you for your comment on the UPS traffic lights. We also agree it's a big improvement and it assists us. In terms of the pricing of the generators, it really depends on what else you want to add to the generator in the installation. So the prices includes the installation, but it also includes security measures and fencing and those type of equipment that we install alongside of the generator, but also the cable links and the position of the generator. That all influences the price at the end of the day. For instance, the two generators we installed at the Paarl Wastewater Treatment Works, the one, the 500 kVA, costed about 3.5 million in total, including a VAT, and the same for the other one, which was about 3.2 million. Then, for instance, the one at the Market Street building, which is a 650 kVA, that already had an enclosed area, the cable links, there were existing cables, etc. So we just had to replace the existing generator. That cost 1.5 specifications that you want installed. On the loss of income, yes, we indicated that it's definitely influencing us, and we had to budget for it, and obviously relook at our forecasts in terms of what we can spend and the type of loans we can take and the paybacks. But I would like Alderman Ger Kombrink maybe to add there if I don't address the issue sufficiently. In terms of the backlog of SECGs, there's no backlogs. We register them as they come in. So maybe just a backlog on the figures I've shown, but they register on a daily and a monthly basis with the municipality. Alderman Kombrink, maybe if you want to come in on those questions at this stage, or can I move on to the next one?
Thank you, Chair, through you. If I can just add to that, there was a question about the 6 million from our own funding. That was CRR. Member Maria asked that question. This capital replacement reserve. But we already had in our budget 12 million for the 23-24 financial year. And then this grant became available. So we actually made a saving on our projected budget for the next financial year. And that's where we already had the money budgeted for. We did not take any loans up. The money was available. Then the revenue, people see that we get in 1.5 odd billion on income from electricity, but that's not pure revenue, because you must subtract 1.1 billion that we pay to Eskom. So there's only a 400 million that's actually revenue from your electricity. From that, you must do your repairs on your system. You must pay your salaries. So a clean revenue that can be used for something else is about 200 million in that package. How do we manage our costs down? We are very strict on our water losses, electricity losses. At present, and the norm, national treasury norm, is between 15% and 30%. So we are well within that norm. Electricity, we are at 6.7% loss, and the national norm is between 7% and 10%. Then our personnel cost is presently just over 29% of our budget, and the national norm is 30% to 40%. And all these savings make up for the loss that we have. We've also decided not to appoint all the available positions in the municipality to make up extra to make up for the loss. So I'll leave it at that now.
Thank you, Alderman. In terms of Member Marais' questions on the use of generators, so that all the generators we use are diesel generators. We investigated solar options for these areas, but the amount of power that these generators have to put out is just not functional for a solar one to keep up with that, especially during the winter period and evenings when these plants have to run. So solar wouldn't work for that application. Our traffic UPSs, we're investigating. We've got one solar installation already installed also in Wellington. That's charging the UPS system there. But all the other UPS systems are charged from the grid. They don't have any other generators charging them during the off periods or when the power is on again. So can I move on to Member Nkondlo's questions?
Yes, you may, sir.
Around the UPSs, the smart lock chambers that we showed on the pictures, they manufactured in South Africa in Gauteng, but all the equipment I have to come back to it. I'm actually assuming it comes from abroad. I'm not sure if there are any local producers that manufactures that kind of equipment, but we do the installation of all those manuals we do internally ourselves between the engineering department with the roads and traffic, as well as the electrical service department. We do everything ourselves and outsource that to any contractors. In terms of the revenue and the increase in our electricity tariffs, I think NERSA's guideline was around 18.6% increase. And through various modelings from with our finance department, we only increased our tariffs across the board with 15.1%. And the question around the co-finance, I think Alderman Combrink already addressed.
Thank you, Mr. Pina.
I think Member Dagmore also a few answers.
Yes, you do, sir.
All right. So you also, I think Alderman Combrink also explained, you know, the revenue and electricity sales around the 1.1 billion. You can maybe come in on the credit control policy question. So on any of the increases and the installations of the generators, but obviously they we touched base with them on the increase of our tariffs. Apologies if I missed anything there, but I think that addressed everything.
If I may ask the member, could also ask the costs of that UPS units?
Yes, we'll have to come back with the exact figure, but I think it was around 80,000 per traffic light. And we spread that over a period of, I think, 2 to 3 financial years.
Okay, thank you.
If I may come in there, Member Dagmore, we didn't increase our tariffs above the NERSA guideline. Mr. Pina indicated correctly, it was over 18% at the beginning, and then NERSA came back with a 15.1%, and we abide by that, the ruling of NERSA. Then on the policy side for electricity, we have got different tariffs for different amperages, your breaker in your house. All our indigenous people are on mainly 20 amp, and for the first 400 kilowatts that they use, they get it at a low tariff. If they go over 400 kilowatt, the tariff increase per kilowatt hour. Then 2 years ago, we decided to also allow indigenous people to get the 30 amp breaker. We don't charge a fixed cost on the first 30 amp for indigenous people, but all other people pay a different tariff for that. And then the tariffs go up to 40 to 50 to 60 and up to 90 amp breakage. Then on the indigenous support, we allow each indigenous registered indigenous person 80 kilowatt hours free electricity per month, 6 kiloliters of water, and then free basic tax on their property rates for the first 750,000 value of the house. So that is quite a generous one. And then free sewage and free sanitation or refuse removal. Then if a person still goes into arrears, and the main reason why people goes into arrears, if we analyze our data, shows that it's over usage of water. Some of them use up to 50 kiloliters of water. Now on the arrears side, if a person goes in 30 days arrears, then we block them 70-30, and if they go over 30 days, we block them 90-10. But we also do a monthly look at our data to see which people are using excessive amount of water. And then we do visits to those people, and if there are leaks, it's better to fix the leak. If it's a toilet leak or a tap running, a washer that's missing or something like that, it's more cost benefit for us as a municipality to fix that, because if you just let the outstanding amount of the debt on the account run up and up and up, at the end of the year the person must come and re-register as an indigent, and then a certain portion of that will in any case be written off. So we fix those leaks, except if it's in a house in the structure itself, because you cannot work on a private structure, but a toilet rubber or a toilet washer or a tap washer, that we fix. I'll leave it at that now, Chair.
Thank you, Alderman Combrink. I see that there's the second round of questions required, so I will now ask Member Marais to ask his questions, please.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I'm more concerned about the long-term solutions to our energy problem. I don't know whether we are just doing a short, trying to look at short-term solutions. Now, I want to ask a question in your opinion. Is energy beyond our financial and our intellectual competence to solve? And what, if it is, what will be our long-term goal? And how do we intend to address the energy crisis? Because generators can never be seen as a final solution. Obviously, it's costly, even if you use diesel. Now, I want to know, is provision of electricity beyond our financial and our intellectual competence? Is there an answer, or do we just plot along and say more generators, more inverters, and it doesn't solve the problem because we still come from the same grid? Is there any idea, even if it comes from the Association of Local Authorities, SALGA, what is the answer to this very complex problem? We're just looking at a day-to-day basis of trying to resolve. And the second and last question, usage. Do you have any large informal settlement areas that also consumes water and electricity? And what is the answer to that problem? Because obviously there's no revenue collection in those areas. So will that now be loaded onto payers, people who pay? Must they subsidize the informal settlements? Or do you get conditional grants if you have an informal settlement within your municipal boundaries? Thank you.
Thank you, Member Marie. Member van der Westhuizen.
Thank you again, Chair. Chair, just two follow-ups and one remark. The first one is, in terms of your response, you said there is no delay in terms of what I presume to be the approval of small-scale installations. Do you do on-site inspections of grid-tied installations? What is your policy in this regard? Then secondly, in terms of your extended use of generators, have you had noise complaints or even people complaining about the exhaust gases of generators? And have you had to adapt your noise regulations in this regard? And then lastly, Chet, my remark would just be to point out to everybody on this platform that I believe Drakenstein Municipality has got the most lenient package of services for indigent residents in the country, I would dare to say. And perhaps someone like Alderman Kombrug might be able to correct me, but I'm always pleasantly surprised by the way in which Drakenstein Municipality assists the indigent. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Member van der Westhuizen. And Member Kondlo?
No, thank you, Chair. This one is, I think, just one question on what I think the alderman was raising. The system that they're using to pick up water leaks, which I think I find it very interesting, and I'm not sure whether other municipalities do have, and their response that they are able then to go to those houses and fix those water leaks. I just wanted to understand what type of a system is this that they are using, and how then is it triggered for them to respond to those particular communities or those particular households. Just, I think I just wanted him to just explain that system better, which I believe, I think, would help a lot of other municipalities if they don't have such. Thanks.
Thank you, Member Nkundlo. Mr. Pinner, if you could answer that, and Alderman Kombrink, you can come in when necessary.
Thank you, Chair. Member Marais' question about the long-term solution
is obviously a concern to everybody, and I'm going to hand over just here to our Senior Manager for Electrical Services, who can maybe give us a bit more background on the responsibilities and the solutions.
Good morning, everybody. As Mr. Marais said, we need to understand that to resolve our problem, firstly, we need to identify it and ring fence it. And our problem is not energy supplying during the day or night or peak turns, only in the energy form. It's about the demand. That's where Eskom's problem is. So that demand needs to be addressed. And the only thing that can address that, according to me, is we need a base load. Base load meaning that we need a supply. We need another Coburg or another two Coburgs or a gas plant or something that can, like a generator on a small scale, to run 24/7. Without a base load, pushing up the total demand over the 24/7 in the whole month, we will never stop this, or we will not replace that. And what we as a municipality is busy doing, we're looking for alternatives to see if we can fix or handle our own base load, not only to patch with the solar stuff, because the solar cannot do it on its own. It's only one of the seven or the nine issues that can help. If so, you can put it into the batteries, but it's become a very expensive thing. We got vandalism, we got theft problems, we got whatever the case may be. But to address the problem, we need to look at the base load solution. Currently, we are looking into various options. We are actually far down the line to try and fix that and to get totally independent. That's at the end of the tunnel. We need to think big around this as well. We cannot just only patch with batteries and solar panels, because it's a space containing story and so forth. And the areas, we supply all our informal areas at this point in time, and we've got also investigations running to see if we can help all of them, all our consumers, during load shedding periods. But again, it's two different issues. To counter for the load shedding or to make a profit or fix your bill a bit with the solar stuff, that's scratching the top. The real problem is we need a base load so that they can help us on a 24/7 period. I hope this is more to your answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kaldenhuis. Chair, if I'm moving on to Member van der Westhuizen's second questions. Yes, we do inspect the SACGs, and we've got no backlog with those inspections. We inspect them on site, so there's not a problem at the moment with those inspections. In terms of the noise and the exhaust fumes of the generators, we haven't ourselves experienced any of the problems. Fortunately, where we installed the generators at the power wastewater treatment works and the pump stations is quite far off from the residential areas, except for our civic center, but that's also not too close to any residential areas. We know of a few complaints of businesses in the CBD which install their private generators where, you know, that's been a problem. But the fix around that about the noise is noise contained units, and that's quite expensive to install those, but they had to comply to that. But we didn't amend any of our bylaws to accommodate generators. Alderman Combrink, there was a question about just a comment about the lenience of the indigent benefits. I don't know if you want to come in there. I think the second question from Member Mkondlo is also more directed at you.
Thank you, Mr. Pienaar. Thank you, Chair. If I can just come in there, on the noise, we as politicians get all the complaints first, not the administration side. But our bylaw has got a noise pollution level that we just test to see if a specific generator runs above a noise pollution cutoff point, and then we hand it over to our administration side, and they then contact the people and ask them to put in damping
noise damping parts or whatever. Then the indigent package that member Van der Westhuizen asked about, yes, it is so. I cannot speak for South Africa, but in the Western Cape, ours is 1,450 rand per month. And member Maria asked about the how do we make good for that. Yes, we get a equitable share grant from national government that we use for that. So this indigent package does not come from the people in the street or the normal taxpayers. And we also use some of that indigent, of that equitable share to service our informal settlements, of which we've got 43 in Drakenstein in total. I've done a test at one specific informal settlement, the bulk water meter that's get metered every month. If you divide the water through the amount of households there, they actually only use 3.4 kiloliters of water on average in a informal settlement, which is lower than the normal 6 kiloliters that we allow for indigent people. The electricity in the informal settlements, the people, if they are registered as indigents, they get a 83 units. And then the rest of the electricity they must buy from the municipality. Then on member Nkondlo's question, what we use is a deviation report, ma'am. Every 3 or 4 months, I ask the financial team just to give me the deviation report on water usage for specific areas or for, let's say, for the indigent people. Then I get that whole big Excel spreadsheet, and because it's an Excel spreadsheet, I can then work with it and sort it by whatever parameter I want to sort it. Usually I sort it from high to low. That's for my own information. And out of that, we know which are the big users. The administration works with me. And then it goes back to the administration, to the financial side of it, and they contact the water guys at engineering and ask them to visit specific sites where we can see there's a spike in the usage, because we can draw graphs from that Excel spreadsheet. And if they see a spike in usage in a specific area, in a specific household, then we know there's something wrong. And then they go out and knock at the door and then ask, can we please have a look at your house? We want to help you not to use so much water. And that's how we contain the leakages. Sometimes people in different areas starts complaining about the big amount on their account for water. And my first question always is, do you have a swimming pool? Do you have a large garden? Or are you sure you don't have a leak in your place? And sometimes the people get very upset with us. But if they go and do everything that we say they must do, for instance, close all taps, make sure your toilet is not running, go take a picture of your water meter, and an hour later go take another picture of the water meter. If that water meter moved or was running, you've got a leak. And then they must get a plumber in to find the leak. Now, that's very specialized equipment. We don't even have that equipment in Drakenstein to, they can, some of these plumbers can see under the ground. I can't see under the ground. So then the one person here in Kortrey, for instance, had a water leak 3 meters underneath his pavement. It's part of his own earth. It's not on the pavement outside. And he had to dig up a big area to solve that problem. And his water account came down. He was using something like 100 kiloliters of water, and it came down over the next 3 months and stabilized around 30 kiloliters because it got quite a large garden. I think that covers and then Mr. Geldenhuis did cover the part of what we must do for the long-term solution, and we are working with a couple of interesting people. But Eskom is standing in our way. You might know what happened in the Free State, where they, agricultural energy or something like that. They were blocked to supply the energy in that
four little towns. Cornelia is one of them, and I can't remember the names of the other towns. So that's still a big problem to solve this whole energy problem. So Eskom must get their act together, and then they must allow private producers of electricity to come on grid and supply to municipalities available energy. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Members, if there are no further questions to Drakenstein, I don't see any more. Just an announcement that I have to make, that the Cape Winelands District Municipality has sent through a message to say that they're no longer able to attend the meeting. I suggest we follow up with them as to why they pulled out of the meeting on such short notice, but we can leave that for resolutions and actions later. I will now ask Mr. Kritzinger and Mr. Nassen from the Witzenberg municipality, can you answer the questions? Can you continue to answering your questions that was posed to you by the members, please? Mr. Lotter?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah?
If I may be, it's Danny Libber, the Municipal Manager of Langeberg Municipality. I don't know if you know, but we've got a huge disaster on our doorstep. And I think that is why Cape Winelands District Municipality is also in readiness. I have been in and out of the meeting. I don't know if you've seen the news. Swellendam's municipal buildings are on fire. There's huge protest. The N2 has been closed, and Swellendam Municipality is the neighboring municipality of Langeberg Municipality.
Okay.
So it is bordering on the Cape Winelands District. There's huge protest. The news is full of it, and the municipal buildings are on fire. So I had to put in a state of readiness now my whole municipality to protect all our municipal infrastructure assets, to have all my emergency services, disaster management, fire prevention, law enforcement, and traffic all in a state of readiness. So we are, and it's right next to my municipality that this is happening, on the N2. Oh. So please, if people are not in the meeting or starting to disappear, I think that is because of that. The news is full of it. It's covered everywhere now. It happened. It's at this point in time happening. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much for that update. I really appreciate it. Unfortunately, I haven't been watching the news while chairing the meeting, but that's fine. Thank you very much for that. Mr. Kritzinger, Mr. Nassen, would you like to go forward in answering the questions that were posed to you?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, just from the disturbing news that we heard now, hopefully there will be a peaceful solution to that. Yes, please accept our apologies. I don't know what went wrong with our links that we missed out a portion of the meeting, but hopefully we will be able to continue now. So the process of advertising that we followed was a normal process where it's advertised in the local or provincial newspapers for this type of tenders and on the municipal website, which is our normal procedures. And as I explained earlier, we do not contact specific potential service providers because then it might be seen that we are giving some advantage to them over other possible bidders. The reason why we didn't receive any bids might be twofold, and please accept that this is just our thoughts on it. It's not fact. But with province making money available, I think a lot of municipalities went out on tenders, and there's not so much of these generators available in the market. And I was for one of the smaller tenders, so maybe the suppliers or possible suppliers focus more on the high-value tenders. So yes, we didn't receive anything. The question on the deviation. Now, regulation 36 of the supply chain regulations provide for certain instances where the municipal manager can approve deviation from the normal processes. and of which emergency is one of those. And as we did follow a public process, we thought it might be a good idea to use a deviation process because it's much more faster and you don't have to advertise for at least 2 weeks or up to a month. So we worked through our database of suppliers to see if there's some suppliers that we believe can help us. We've contacted them, and then there was one supplier who said yes, he will be able to supply what we need, but unfortunately his tax matters was not in order, and that is something that the municipal manager cannot deviate from. It's a legal requirement. If you want to do business with government, your tax matters must be in order. So we never even submitted to the municipal manager for his consideration because there was legal problems with that. So yes, and what we've asked for in the process was for mobile generators. So what we do is with load shedding, we took the current mobile generators to wherever the strategic pumps are, and just so that the pumps can keep running. And with in the Witzenberg area, it's in the serious side of the mountain, load shedding, we use it here, and then if the load shedding move to the Woolsey-Tilbach area, then we move the generators to that areas as well. So with a normal stage 2, 3, and 4 load shedding, we can manage, although it's not an ideal situation, transporting these generators from one area to the next. Our problems start when it's above stage 4, where the load shedding on the Woolsey-Tilbach area will overlap with the load shedding in the Sirius area, as an example.
Your voice is just gone missing.
Yes, Mr. Kritzinger, I think we seem to have lost you there for a second. Mr. Nassen, are you still available?
I'm still available. Mr. Kritzinger will come on now. Our load shedding has just started. Was one of the reasons why he's off. I can just add, Mr. Chair, in terms of the numbers, we added at that time R1 million on our budget for generators. Most of our money in terms of electrical infrastructure was for the upgrade of our substations, we just completed our master planning, and certain of our infrastructure needed to be upgraded. So we then added an additional million for the movable generators. I can't give you the size of the generators, but in total it would have been 11, and it was mostly for the Tilbach and Woolsey and Oppiberg area. The Hamlet and Sirius area is fully covered in terms of our pump stations. In terms of the upgrade of the sanitation plants, that is on our budget for the 2024-25, because that is substantially higher than what we could afford now. I don't know if my senior manager is online, but question was not asked, but I also wanted to just give the committee a briefing in terms of alternative energy. We were also one of the 5 municipalities that was earmarked for assistance by the province. And I just wanted to brief the committee on that. That is outside of the scope of the questions asked, but I thought it might be good if the committee knows as well. Just lastly, Mr. Chair, our problem in Witzenberg is that our Eskom network is under severe pressure. Eskom was supposed to have upgraded the network in 2019, and then they have moved it and postponed it to the year 2030. So we can't do any new projects, neither us nor the Eskom service area. And it makes it very difficult for us to wheel, and this is why there's currently a number of private initiatives which we are also supporting to see how they can augment the electricity supply. There's a hydro project where they're doing the EIAs, and obviously the others are solar. Ourselves with the province, we're looking at solar with batteries. We are currently doing an EIA, and we have also appointed a specialist service provider that was involved in other similar projects with other municipalities to assist us with the tender scope and specifications. Kanye, I don't know if you're on, and with your permission, Mr. Chair, if she can just elaborate a little bit more until such time that Kubus, Mr. Kertzinger is back, if he wants to provide for further responses.
Thank you, Mr. Nasser. Mr. Kertzinger, are you back?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'm back. Sorry, that was load shedding affecting my internet connection. Just while we're talking about the energy crisis. But now I think there's nothing more to add. I was able to hear the last part of the responses of our municipal manager, but I think we have addressed then the questions already asked. If we miss anything, please accept our apologies and just remind of thereof, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kritzinger. I know Member Marais and Member Murray had follow-up questions. Member Marais, do you want to ask your follow-up question again?
You lost me a bit because the replies come haphazardly, and I don't always know whether it is mine they responded to or that of other members. But what I've got so far is that they concentrated on high-value tenders. I noted that, and that's why the IPPs have been reduced to only a small, big companies because the generators are very expensive and small operators would not be able to afford it. I got that. I also got that the Eskom needed to upgrade or to maintain the plants in 2019, that was postponed to 2060. And that's what caused the problem. And then Mr. David Nasser now said they are looking at solar with batteries. Solar with batteries, but the previous speaker said solar is unreliable in winter. So I don't know whether there is mutual consensus between municipalities about how to solve this crisis. Some say no, solar is not reliable because there's no sun and we need to store it still in batteries. Others says that they're looking at solar with batteries. I'm a bit confused what is going on here. I'm satisfied with the response that the municipalities are getting conditional grants from national to subsidize supply of water and electricity to the poor and informal settlements. But I don't know, the others must have just fallen through the net of replies, which I couldn't catch up with. And Eskom blocking own supply. I don't understand that. That to me is something that this committee will have to look at afterwards. If Eskom is anti-IPPs, but they themselves don't have a solution, then we should have a reason to feel very concerned. Thanks, Chapers.
Thank you, Member Murray. Member Kondla, I do see your hand. I just wanted to ask Member Murray if she wanted to pose her question again.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, I had a similar problem with Member Marie in struggling to follow the content. It did come across a bit haphazardly, but my question was, as a follow-up, whether they had reached out to any international players within the industry in terms of their bidding process, and if not, why not? Thank you.
Thank you, Member Marie. Member Nkondlo, thank you so much for your indulgence. If you may continue.
Thank you, Chair. My first one is a follow-up. I just want to understand from the colleague accepting, I think, the whole deviation explanation, which I think we understand the that is in the provision of PFMA and supply chain regulations. And also that the particular preferred provider could not go through because they didn't have a tax clearance certificate. For me, all I'm interested to understand is if in the initial public tender process, they would have tendered this or they would have sent out the bid, would they have excluded, and if so, in what way, those bidders that are in their database? Because the explanation he gives is that the second time around, when they could not secure because of the market related reasons that he has advanced, which makes sense, that they had to go into their database, and out of that database they found this service provider. Because to me it is strange that would this particular service provider not have taken up the opportunity during the open tender process of everybody, that it had to be canvassed in the extraordinary measure through a deviation. So this is what I'm failing to understand. Whilst I take the outcome that actually what we are referring to has not gone through, but I'm interested in this type of a procurement a peculiarity, which I would appreciate if the colleague could just get me to understand that. Then my two new questions, Chair, which I think is triggered by the previous conversation we had with Drakenstein, is to understand what is the situation of water leaks as a contributor, you know, of the electricity demand in the municipality. So I'm interested in the Wittenberg, what is their water leaks challenge, if any, and how are they mitigating it? And lastly, are they sticking to the NERSA guide tariffs of 15.1, or they have gone up as other municipalities have actually argued that they are unable to recoup their operational cost and therefore they had to go beyond what NERSA have approved? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Member Nkondlo. Member Mari, is that another follow-up question?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, I think Member Nkondlo raises an excellent question when she spoke about the supply chain, and I was starting to think about the database in particular. I just wanted to also understand more the nuts and bolts of the supply chain database. If they could just touch on where is this database housed? Is it within the municipality? Are they using provinces? How is it reviewed? How often is it reviewed? And also maybe what is the role of provincial treasury with regards to maybe conducting oversight of their supply chain database, but also what role are they playing for related projects? That's the provincial treasury in the Western Cape. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kitzinger. And Mr. Nassen, if you could answer those questions, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kitzinger will deal with the supply chain aspect. Let me just start off with portfolio or member Maris. Questions or not, Marimus Kondler's questions. The water, we also have a team that deals with water leaks in all of our areas, and this mostly impacts on credit control, because we have discovered that in terms of area accounts, it's mostly as a result of high water consumption, and sometimes not the consumption, but the leaks, and people not being in a position to repair. So we normally send in our team where we see there's high consumption to assist the household or the member in whose name the account is registered. So it does not necessarily impact. We have a policy, or council adopted the policy, where we are not really where if a person is on indigent relief, that we should be reluctant to implement credit control. We need to assess, and we then send our own social workers team to inspect and see what the position is. We also, part of our policy is then if they can't afford, that we see how we can structure down payment, and that is normally being done by the finance section. We initially applied for a higher tariff. We had our hearing at NERSA, and NERSA sort of did not grant it, and we adopted we are in line with the NERSA guideline. So we did not go beyond the NERSA guidelines in terms of our electricity tariffs. Just to get back to Member Marais' questions, I can say we have done studies, and there was a lot of studies done within Witzenberg in terms of solar, and a lot of the businesses have installed solar, and for them it's effective for a certain period of time. Obviously, the batteries are too expensive, and when problems identified us and informed us that they are looking at batteries and solar, we then further explored, and this is why we are going the route. But conversations, our own studies done with in terms of this solar efficiency, it appears that within the Sierras area especially, it is effective. It can reduce the electricity consumption for a certain period. Our problem is the peak period, which is normally between 6 and 8 in the evening, where the solar does not necessarily play a role unless you have stored it battery-wise. So that is just the reference in terms of whether there are any contradictions in terms of solar. We, as you by now know, we received a conditional grant for generators, and then we just added our own money, so we went out only for generators. And when we explored the local market, because the money and the funding was not that high that we wanted to tap into the international market. And I think, to be honest as well, our expertise at that level, I won't say it's not sufficient, but in terms of the solar and others, if needs be, we will engage with provincial treasury to guide and assist us. This is what I can explain. I just want to say, in terms of the Eskom, in terms of Mr. Marais' question, the Eskom network supply to the whole Witzenberg is under pressure. This is why we cannot explore wheeling as an option within our area, and we need additional energy or Eskom electricity, which they cannot provide, and why there are private initiatives to see how we as a municipality, private sector, can work together in solving the energy crisis within Witzenberg.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Nassan. Thank you, Chair. Yes, on the supply chain questions then, I think the first one was if we reach out to international suppliers, and no, not specifically. We just advertised in the Western Cape newspapers. If we talk about 1.5 million rand, I don't think it's really in the interest of international people to supply, but also the municipality cannot do business in foreign currency. So even if they want to do business with us, it must be in the rand value. But they are not excluded. If they see the advertisement in the newspaper or on our website, they can take part in the process. But like I said, it must be in the rand values. Even so, the same for people on our current database. They are not excluded from the process. But the regulations indicate for all procurement above the amount of 200,000, we need to follow a public tender process, if I can call it that, where it's advertised and it's there for everybody. There is a condition in the regulation that that person must be registered on a database, either our own, or we can also make use of the central supplier database of National Treasury. Or if the person is not on one of these databases, he must meet all the requirements to be registered on a database. So we will not exclude him from the tender or bid process, but he needs to then meet all the requirements, as we mentioned earlier, like his tax matters must be up to date and he must not be in a government employee of the government and so forth. So yes, PT's role, now they don't really have a role in this process, although they're the people who provided the funds for us, for which we are grateful. But from time to time, they will look at our supply chain processes and see if there's any room for improvement, which they then will advise us accordingly. Yes, just coming back, I think there was a question on the deviation again, but as the first process, official process, was not successful and we really wanted to spend the funds and really need the generators, that is why we considered the deviation route, and then it's not the official route, an official way to do it, but we're looking at our database to see if there's people that might be able to help us. And unfortunately, that was not successful as well. Thank you, Chair. I hope we've answered the questions.
Thank you very much. Tanya Dingilizwe, I see your hand is up. I'm not sure where you're from, ma'am or sir.
Thank you, sir. I'm from Wesenbeck Municipality. I'm the Senior Manager, Electrotechnical Services Manager. I would just love to chip in, you know, just in support of my MM and Mr. Pritzinger there in terms of the electricity, or rather the energy, you know, comments that were made by Mr. Murray. I stand to be corrected if I'm not pronouncing your surname correctly, sir. But I will also just add on in what the, I believe it was Rakenstein, if I'm not mistaken, or it might have been the previous municipality that presented as well, your question on, you know, or at least everybody knows that PV or solar isn't reliable. Why are we then, you know, opting for that? The idea, or at least in the nature of the PV itself, the solar, you know, energy in its natural form, it is intermittent. That we cannot dispute. But the idea, It is to have, you know, in this case, if you pay it with a battery system or a battery energy storage system, then it makes it available during the time when you need it. Yes, during the day, if it is available, it will help you in terms of reducing your sales, or I mean reducing the cost, or in terms of like the savings, you would see an increase in terms of your savings. But if you want to opt to use it, let's say, outside the normal time, which is during the day, then if you pair it with a battery energy storage system, it tends to help. It might not be like the rest of your base load, like, let's say, your coal-fired power stations and also your the likes of your nuclear power plants, but it does, to a certain extent, help. And again, you should also, one should also look into the fact that you, in your mind, or at least you are trying to have an energy mix. So this is not to say this is going to be your 100% solution, but you are trying to tap in every source that you might have that may be able to help you out in terms of, you know, producing them or allowing people to connect into your grid and having that energy access or that you can sort of provide to your customers. And then just also to add on what the MM said in terms of the energy or the other projects that we are doing as a municipality to ensure that we are relieving or at least allowing our customers to sort of connect or have that energy. As he has mentioned, we are having problems with Eskom. That isn't true. A sense that it has been happening for quite some time. The constraints are there. And they have made mention that, you know, the current capacity, if we were to add more on that, you know, let's say in this case, we apply for an additional NMD increase, it will violate the voltage limits, you know, upstream. Because one would remember we've got a transmission network and then you've got a distribution network before you can eventually get to, you know, distribution at a municipal level. So the project that has been in the pipeline, it has been in the pipeline ever since, and it doesn't seem to be coming to sort of fruition from the Eskom side. So what we have done as the municipality in the meantime to help us in our own energy mix that all speak to our energy needs and ensure that we boost the economic growth and also allow developments to sort of bloom within Wurzenberg municipalities. Firstly, through the MER funding, we did a master plan. And when we're doing this master plan, we knew at the back of our minds that we needed to identify, you know, our substations or our infrastructure that we would need to upgrade to ensure that we are ready, you know, come or at least we know in terms of the financial, implication and also the readiness of the infrastructure itself, which one would be ready to be paid with whatever energy resource that we've identified as a municipality when we get to that study. So we did the master plan, and part of the master plan spoke to the grid capacity studies, which will also advise us in terms of whatever method or whatever energy source that we want to pair into our existing network, how much of it can we be able to, you know, withstand in terms of the technical limits. One would remember that we were also speaking about grid code compliance when we're talking about renewable energy plants. So we needed to ensure that we are not violating any of those conditions, and then also we remain grid tied. Then whatever that system that we put into play, it should not influence Eskom's network or negatively so. So we've done the master plan last year, completed by March. So the upgrades, in terms of the upgrades, we know what upgrades we need to run in each and every sort of substation that we've identified to ensure that we are ready when we have got, you know, the means financially, you know, to start tapping into those resources. But what we've also done is started working on an energy plan. We've appointed a consultant that is currently helping us out in terms of the energy plan. But maybe for understanding for somebody else who might be asking themselves, what is an energy plan? We basically identifying all the available energy resources within our municipal area, renewable energy-wise, and any that we can use that are energy efficient. And then also looking at the current trends and the future energy demands in patterns and identifying opportunities for energy efficiency and, you know, the betterment of those. And then also looking at the, you know, developing policies and regulations that will ensure this smooth or seamless transition. One would remember that, you know, the likes of George and the City of Cape Town are currently undergoing projects right now in terms of the wheeling, in terms of the IPPs, and we want to learn from them. So our policies and the regulations will speak to the best practices or what they have learned, you know, throughout their processes of deploying these energy resources to ensure that they've got supply within their municipalities. And then also, as MM has mentioned, we have been one of those lucky municipalities that have been identified by the province to ensure or at least see how can they help us out in terms of easing the impact of load shedding, you know, in our networks. So what we've done there is there was a criteria that was set by a province, but we needed to sort of follow through and see if we comply to move on to the next stage. So part of that criteria, we needed to identify let's say a town or an area within your network where there's economic growth and, you know,
that economic growth then will speak to, let's say, your industrial or agricultural sectors, that you want to ensure that you at least relieve them, whatever method that you will be deploying. In this case, it was solar, containerized solar PV system together with a battery energy storage system that one would couple. And then that will then help you to retain, the livelihood of, the municipalities, because one would know that, if the businesses are suffering, then people tend to be retrenched at work, and then it affects, the livelihood of the municipality as well, and also the socio-economic, or rather the economic growth of the municipality. So we identified one of the subs, and we identified the system as well in terms of our NMD, and at the moment we're currently busy doing an EIA study for the land that we have identified, and that is currently in process. And then in the meantime, we're also looking at, preparing our technical specification now. This speaks to the PV system and the battery energy storage system that will ensure that we go out and we are ready for the market. We go out through the procurement processes and get sort of a responsible service provider bid in and provide the system in a way that is going to be saving for both the municipality and also for them, obviously. And that's about it from my side. I will take if there are any questions or if there's anything that I need to sort of clarify.
Thank you very much, Ms. Dingilizwe. I do see Member Marais' hand.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for the previous speaker. What caught my attention is the two things. Number one, it was said that tenders must be in rands. Now, that's the most stupid suggestion anybody could have forced municipalities to obey, because the rand is so weak. I mean, it's 19 to 20 to the dollar, more to the pound. If overseas people who has the expertise must tender in rands, they'll always out-tender South Africans 20 to 1, 19 to 1. So if that is going to be a marker before they get a contract, they'll never get a contract to solve our problem. That's number one. Number two, the consultants appointed to advise on energy plans for municipalities. Surely there can be one group of consultants that can assist all municipalities in the Western Cape. Why must every municipality employ its own consultants instead of going out and tender, and the provincial parliament, what assistance do they give to municipalities in this regard, so that we, in terms of cooperative governance, can have a consultancy whose job is to look at the de facto situation that is encountered in each municipal area and advise them on the best practices and how to solve the problem, instead of each municipality having to have expenses to employ their own consultants. Thank you, Speaker.
Thank you, Member Marais. I'm not sure if anybody from the Witzenberg municipality wants to answer that or comment on that.
Just to say, we basically agree with Mr. Marais. I think the Department of Local Provincial Department of Local Government is heading in that direction. They want to appoint a board of service providers or consultants, a panel of service providers, which will then assist municipalities. So they are heading in that direction.
Thank you very much. Members, if there are no further questions to the Witzenberg municipality, I wish to thank the colleagues for the attendance. I will now move on to the Stellenbosch municipality. I think it's Mr. Shane Chandaka. Mr. Chandaka.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies. There's just a bit of lag in unmuting. I'm trying to share.
Okay.
Give me a second. Seems there still is a bit of a lag. 1 second. Thank you, Chair.
No problem. We'll wait.
There we go. Chair, please tell me if you can see it okay.
It's busy loading on our side. I have to see a blank screen right now.
Noted.
Yes, there we see it. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. The presentation is just a bit stalling on my side, so I will speak to it in the meantime. The emergency load shedding relief grant that we received was 6.175 million. And we, similar to Wissenberg Municipality, we immediately went out on a full tender process. Unfortunately, we did receive bids, but none of the bids were responsive. So the closing date, or sort of the end of the financial year, 30th June, was fast approaching at that point in time. And we decided we needed to go into a deviation process. We did that, and unfortunately, there were no responsive bids received in that process as well. There were some issues with compliance. So our bid adjudication committee recommended that we go on a full tender process. Then we immediately informed the Department of Local Government that, listen, it was already the middle of June, and we were recommended to go on a full tender process, thus we would be moving into a rollover scenario. So we prepared all the documentation and informed the department as such. The good news is that the full tender closes on Monday, the 21st of August, and we hope to receive some responsive bidders. Chair, just tell me if you can hear me, please. I'm seeing some very weird things happening on my screen.
We can hear you, but
you can hear me.
But the presentation's not loading.
Oh, okay.
I can see the presentation, but I see there's better. Now it's on full screen.
Okay, great. So that I just did a bit of an executive summary on slide one. This slides two and three go into a bit more detail. And yeah, you can see our budget adjudication meeting was held on the 15th of June. Trying to skip a slide. Yeah, so when the tender closes on Monday, we will be able to see hopefully who is responsive and the status of delivery and supply, if there is a responsive bidder, and we hope to have the generators installed within 6 to 8 weeks' time. Now, with regard to the status and the impact, the generators we were intending to procure were intended for the high-lying pump stations. So we do have critical generators at our critical treatment plants at present, and we also have investigations are underway for solar backup as well. We, separate from this grant, we have installed rooftop solar PV photovoltaics at 4 municipal buildings, and that gives us about 710 kilowatts peak as part of the municipality's alternative energy strategy. But just to go back to the high-lying reservoirs, because I know some of the other municipalities have been asked about this, there's the pump stations at the high-lying areas. When we do receive a notification about extended load shedding, we immediately react to ensure that those pump stations are filled up as much as possible, if it's going to be a four-hour outage, for example. Now, our interpretation of the grant was it was in response to a crisis and also to be ready for crisis scenarios. Therefore, for periods longer than that, where we can't supply if there's water tankers needed, etc., that's ideally where we would have had the generators installed, in response to extended load shedding scenarios. But in the meantime, so far to date, we have been managing okay with such scenarios, Chair. Yes, I think the slide is, yeah, and in addition to that, We have appointed a lead consulting firm. This is not using the grant funding. This is using all the municipality's own money. We've also appointed a lead consulting firm to investigate various aspects of load shedding mitigation. And to date, one of the positive signs is we've just successfully awarded a SCADA telemetry tender for the upgrading of our telemetry system. And we are also investigating the upgrade of our master and switching stations and gear, and also in doing a study around battery storage backup options. We are also walking the walk with province on the Municipal Energy Resilience Initiative. We used some of that funding last year to do our energy master plan, which was completed and approved by council. So thank you very much for that assistance. And then still under the Municipal Energy Resilience Program, which initially was DDET and I think now has moved over, we are participating in the Municipal Pool Buying Initiative, which is still at slightly early stages. They have appointed PricewaterhouseCooper as their, let's call it their lead consultant. And during the last 2 weeks, PwC and province have just held the first investigative workshops on legal, technical, and financial separate workshops for each of those facets within the last 2 weeks to understand how the different municipalities could respond towards municipal pool buying. Thank you, Chair. Let me pause there and happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chandaka. If I may ask you to please email the presentation to Ms. Kruti so we can disseminate it to the members, because the members have been asking for it. So if you could please email it to her as soon as possible, and she will disseminate it to us. Thank you so much. Members, are there any questions regarding this presentation?
May I?
I see Member Nkondlo's hand first, Member Mare, and then Member Mare afterwards. Member Nkondlo?
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation from Stellenbosch Municipality. My first question, Chair, if the colleague can explain this lead consultant that he says, I'm assuming when he says it is their lead consultant, he means it's from DDET. And are these the transaction advisors that we have been informed of, I think, in the previous meetings, which are placed by the province to drive the program of this energy crisis in the identified municipalities? If you can just clarify me on that. Following that up is to say, if the municipality is only now involved in developing the master plan, I'm not sure whether he said they are now or they've completed, because I would like to understand, because I would recall that Stellenbosch Municipality was amongst the initial set of municipalities identified early, I think in 2019, if not 2020, as part of those that would have piloted under this energy resilience program. And they were given funding for such, and I would recall as the person who is in the Committee of Economic Development, that the response would have been that initial funding was for municipalities to actually start doing all the feasibility studies around energy resilience. And therefore, for me, I would like to understand whether if it is only now that they are concluding that particular work, or it is something different, if I could be clarified in that regard, just as my initial questions, Chair. Or the last one, I think, is on this bid. I think in one of the slides that was put up earlier, I just want to open that slide. I think I see on point 7, it says in the BAC meeting held on the 15th, the deviation was not approved due to inconsistencies with legal status of the bidders. Can you expand what does that mean? What were exactly these inconsistencies that were referred to by the BAC? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Member Nkondlo. Member Marais, would you like to ask your questions?
Yes, I certainly would. Thank you, Chair. There seems to be a huge problem when we're not getting to the nitty-gritty of this. I can see the problems municipalities are confronted with. Now, my question is this. Did the municipalities escalate the problems they are experiencing with compliance issues, with size requirements of the projects which they want IPPs to tender for, non-availability of the competencies we seek and the technical knowledge, intelligence we need here? Has this been escalated to the energy minister? We got three ministers who's getting huge salaries to solve this problem. And now the problem is left to the municipalities. Now, I want to know, were any of these problems escalated to the national ministers, all three of them, to say, we have a problem here. We have advertised. We have called for tenders. We called for bids. We don't get bids. You prevent us through your regulations from not employing overseas contractors because they must tender in rands. And they will out-tender any local bid because of the exchange rate. Did any of this reach the national ministers or the premier? Or do you sit there at the municipal level and doing your best to sort it out yourselves? Thanks. And if you did, what was the responses?
Thank you, Member Marais. Mr. Chandaka, would you like to answer those questions?
Noted. Thanks, Chair. Thank you, Member Nkondlo. The first question around the lead consultant at Province, that's PricewaterhouseCoopers, is my understanding is it is they are not the transaction advisor team. It's a lead, let's call it project management consultant that they have recruited to assist with the overall management of the municipal energy resilience program, especially the pool buying, municipal pool buying initiative, which is a sub project underneath there. The transaction advisor tender appointment, they have gone through a bid spec committee so far, and they've also asked the municipality, one of our officials, to sit in. And they've gone through also a bid specification. They did that first for a project officer, which is also an electrical / energy lead consulting firm. So those are the two initiatives which Province is handling on their own recruitment side. Then on the second question regarding the energy master plan, I just want to clear. One is an energy master plan, which largely looks at different sources of energy and their applicability to the Stellenbosch scenario, and that's also an update of previous plans. The second plan is the electrical infrastructure master plan, which largely looks at load distribution networks, et cetera, et cetera. Let's call it the more hardware type of plan on master planning. And that electrical master plan of ours was only completed at the end of June. The energy master plan for which we used the Municipal Energy Resilience Project was concluded around November last year, November, December. Just to make a thing between the two. Yes, so agreed, there are a lot of feasibility studies that take place, that have been taking place since, One was also on battery storage. There was the energy master plan, and that was done by CSIR. But hand in hand, what we've also found is that the municipality needs to be very, have a very good handle on our own infrastructure, the state of the infrastructure, the state of the substations, what would require to be upgraded as we move in this process going forward. So as you can see, we started with the SCADA on the telemetry side, and we've also got our own lead professional firm that's assisting us with this process and to investigate the different, let's call it, arms of a load shedding mitigation strategy. So things happen incrementally, both on the feasibility side as well as on the hardware side, and to follow, you know, a step-by-step methodical scientific approach, let's call it, towards load shedding mitigation. Now, bear in mind, there isn't really a regulated scientific approach that's meted out for municipalities. So what my understanding, and I don't know, the other municipalities may agree with me, is that it is a process which unfolds, and as you pilot, you find out. So you can do what within the known of what you can do now regarding the hardcore infrastructure, like we are doing with SCADA. And then as the investigations reveal themselves around the substations upgrade, et cetera, and that will be the next step for us. But we're happy that we're following a, let's call it a methodical and logical process to get there. Thanks, Jay. On the bid adjudication, the inconsistencies, the third question, regarding the legal status of the bidder. Yes, when the bidders came through on the deviation, I just need to put this in context. The first round and the full tender, there weren't non-responsive bidders. Two did respond, but they were non-responsive in terms of compliance. And in the deviation process, naturally we looked at bidders that could respond quickly, because in our minds at the time the cutoff, the deadline was the 30th of June, and possibly bidders who already had stock in hand or could get the stock there and install it within that period and be paid, and maybe there were very few people who thought that they could do it in the market. Then the legal status of that specific bidder, Mark, just remind me, they tendered but didn't, under a different name, something to that effect.
They weren't compliant in terms of the criteria that we needed in terms of our initial functionality.
Oh, okay. So it's simply, yeah, they didn't pass the functionality portion of the tender. And I do agree with the Wittenberg municipality's comments that, you know, it may have just been during that period, and this relates to the fourth question as well, during that period, you must remember this grant was put together in response to a crisis that was happening at the time. And naturally, all the municipalities went on to recruitment drives to get generators. Therefore, the market, we did get the sense that the market was drying up, couldn't respond fast enough. And therefore, you know, I don't know if maybe the bidders preferred to go for the larger tenders, and where they could bring in more generators, but definitely for stock on hand, it was drying up within the industry. That was our sense, yeah. Thanks for that, Chair. I hope I did justice to some of the questions.
Thank you very much. I see there are two follow-ups or two in this next round. Member van der Westhuizen and a member Murray. Member van der Westhuizen?
Thank you, Chair. To Mr. Tsandaka, Stellenbosch municipality used to use ripple control devices to switch off geysers in certain parts of Stellenbosch municipality in order to manage the maximum demand, the KBAs, that is being required. Perhaps if you could just tell us whether you are still continuing with that,
during load shedding. What is your experience? How has that enabled you perhaps to still bring down the KVAs, which we've learned in a previous meeting? You know, after load shedding, obviously with all appliances suddenly switching on, that, you know, the whole network comes under strain, and obviously it pushes up the KVA demand, resulting in a higher, you know, charge from ESCOM on their monthly account to the municipality. Perhaps if you could just tell us your experiences in this regard. Is it something that can perhaps assist also in other municipalities going forward to particularly manage the spike after load shedding? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Member van der Westhuizen. Member Kondlo, you will be after Member Murray, so I do see your hand there. Member Murray?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm excited by the presentation. I wonder if Stellenbosch will be the first municipality off of the grid, but that's not a question, maybe just something to ask or something to reflect on. My question to you, Chair, is whether the municipality has had any engagement with Wesgro on their response to the Energy Master Plan. I know that this is a massive focus area for Wesgro, particularly because of their focus on green hydrogen. And so I'm just curious to see if there are any synergies there or if there are any synergies that we should perhaps assist with. And then I wonder, and I asked this previously, if there's been any form of appeal to international stakeholders, businesses, diplomats, to address any of the infrastructural needs that the municipality might be facing, and whether there are any training requirements or skills development needed to get the project off the ground. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Murray. Member Nkondlo.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to get an understanding from the colleagues, and I think with the reference he was making from Württemberg, I'm interested in what this means in terms of the market appetite, nor capacity to meet the demand, given the fact that, as they had indicated, that on one hand they were able to go out there to the market, but unfortunately they could not get bidders. And I'm not sure whether it's a function that maybe the timing of the grant is one aspect, or if they pick up, I think, as procurement practitioners in the space, particularly, you know, on the generators, that are we seeing a problem of a limitation rather of a demand meeting the supply. So I'm very interested in that, because I think of the very robust energy program that I think the province has chosen to sort of roll out, in view obviously of trying to protect the provincial economy. So I think I'm just interested in understanding that from the colleague, as picking up also similar comments from the other presentations done already since this morning. The second part, Chair, I think would be the standard question that one has been asking. One is on the tariff side, is whether, as the Stellenbosch municipality, have you gone beyond the 15.1 NERSA tariff at this point as a guideline, or you are within that particular tariff? So that is my second question, Chair. I think those are the two for now.
Member Nkondlo, you did break up on my side there for the second question. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding, I heard you correctly. You were asking about the NERSA 15.1% tariff and if they have gone beyond that. Is that correct, ma'am?
Yes, Chair. Yes, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chandaka. I hope you heard that.
Yes.
If you can answer those questions, please.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just to start off, I think the fourth question from the first round, I didn't completely cover it. It was asked whether we did escalate any issues to the energy minister. No, we did not. Since this tender was and the funding was basically for generators, it wasn't for any independent power producers or anything of that sort. So we called for the bids. We understood what the market was saying, and then as it played out, we went into the deviation process. So we didn't see the need to escalate. But I will give comment on Member Nkondlo's the question as well, further to that just now. On the ripple control devices, on the geyser control devices, I've got Mark Benson here, our manager for planning in electrotechnical services, in my office chair. I'll just hand over to him quickly for this question.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Director. Yes, in terms of our ripple relays, we are still using it currently. And the function and the main purpose of it is actually to do load shifting. So during the peak times, when we have a problem with the peak, we try to shift that peak out to a time where we actually have a less cost-effective means of supplying hot water to our citizens. So that's the purpose of that ripple relay. And we do use it, so it's really to shift the load from peak to non-peak times. But there's a different challenge that has arisen now recently because everybody's put solar PV on and they've got inverters. So when the power comes back on, that inverters also put a spike and their batteries must be charged onto the network. So that's a new challenge that we haven't really managed yet as it's a similar to what's happening with the geysers. So that is something we need to obviously address going forward. But it's a challenge for everybody in the municipalities because this is the newest thing that is happening at individual households.
Thank you, Mark. Chair, moving on to Member Murray's questions on a link with Westgrow. Especially with respect to green hydrogen, we haven't activated that link with Westgrow yet. We do engage with Westgrow on other initiatives in the municipality outside of infrastructure. But specifically on this link so far, we do have a investigation underway for biomass, possible my biomass facility. It's in the feasibility stage, which the University of Stellenbosch is conducting at present. And we also have not gone on to any international appeals yet. I think all municipalities are walking the walk with province, also around the municipal pool buying initiative. If it does eventually realize into a call for proposals for independent power producers, whether it is a large plant or several smaller plants or on an international appeal basis, that still remains to be seen how that entire process will unfold. But all the municipalities are participating at present. Then regarding skills and training, yes, I'm pretty sure that the initiative around load shedding mitigation and alternative energy is taking its toll on municipalities, especially the electrical officials, and having to investigate and spend time and effort on these additional aspects. So we do envisage that training skills, especially keeping up to date with the different ESCOM initiatives around the NRS legislation. Now, where those initiatives become available or where the training courses and workshops become available, we do attend. There may be some dedicated training required in future, and also on the capacitation side for municipalities, because this we do feel that it will eventually evolve itself into the into dedicated alternative energy units within municipalities, if I may be so bold to project into the future. But it's definitely something that needs to be considered. So thank you for bringing that up. And Member Nkondlo, regarding market appetite capacity to meet the demand, yes, if I could give my opinion on it, one, it definitely was around timing, so we must understand that, and thank you to province for making the grant available. And it came through during our financial year, so we did have a bit of a limited time in order to procure and have things installed by our financial year end. Then again, as mentioned earlier, with respect to a lot of the municipalities who received the grant also going out to procure the generators, my opinion is that there was a bit of a demand on the industry, and the industry couldn't keep up with that period. And then thirdly, in our specific scenario where, and some other municipalities, when we didn't get responsive bidders in the first round and then went to a deviation process, and the time was running out, so it meant that those bidders in the market who either had the stock on hand, were able to get it quickly, probably did not have the time to import it, and needed for it to be installed and commissioned by the 30th of June, was a largely a tall order, I suspect, from the market. So the deadline or the cutoff time was quite a limiting factor, understandably. But we're hopeful that in this new round of bidding, things would have eased up on the market. We will know on Monday exactly who is keen to submit a bid. With respect to the tariffs, we did not add an increase onto the recommended tariff of 15.1. We kept it as is, and we also included that in our IDP presentations and consultations with all wards in the recent round before the tariffs were formally adopted for 23-24. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Chandaka. If I'm pronouncing it wrong, please forgive me.
No, it's Chandaka. Close enough. Thanks, Jay.
Chandaka, sorry. I apologize.
No worries.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chandaka. Members, are there any further follow-ups to the Stellenbosch presentations? I don't see any hands, so thank you to you and your team. Mr. Chandaka, the next presentation will be the Breda Valley presentation. I understand it will be by Director Steyn. Mr. Steyn, if you could flag your presentation, please. I see MMC the Municipal Planning Manager, McThomas, is in the meeting as well. So if you could have, if you have the floor, sirs.
Hey, good morning to everyone. Thank you very much for the opportunity. So I just received a short brief of the background of this meeting. So that is to report back on the Energy Relief Fund, which we received from the provincial government. So our municipality, Breda Valley, as you know, we, as you come through the mountain, Twistroof Tunnel, the towns of Rossel, Worcester, the Doorings, and Toast River falls under Breda Valley Municipality. According to 2011 census, we have a population of 166,525 more or less. Currently, that's much more. But nevertheless, so we have to serve all the communities within our municipal area. During the 22 free financial year, we received an amount of 950,000 from the Western Cape government for the Energy Relief Fund. For the current financial year, that's the 23-24 financial year, we haven't received any. So it totals to 950,000 rand to date. We did the procurement and the installation of two standby generator sets. The one is at Swellentemba Sewer Pump Station. That's the 35 kV standby generator set. And the second one is at Noble Park Sewer Pump Station at 25 kVA. And the installation cost add up to 950,000. So besides those two generators, over a period of time, we actually started with standby generators at critical points. One is, for example, at Steynskloof Dam. That is where the bulk of our water is coming from. So there's a standby generator for the treatment of the raw water. So to get the system up and running when there's power outage. Then our focus is also at wastewater treatment works. So at Rossenville, we're currently busy with the augmentation of the wastewater treatment works, and hopefully towards the end of October, the upgrading will be completed, and then the generator will also be up and running, which will add value to our operational matters. At Worcester Wastewater Treatment Works, there's already three standby generators. The Dorings Wastewater Treatment Works, there we have a mobile generator set. And then at Toast River Wastewater Treatment Works, currently we're also busy with the upgrading of the wastewater treatment works, and we also make provision there for a standby generator. We're still in the design phase, so we will go out on tender in the near future, and hopefully next year the works will be under construction. Then at the Worcester Administration Center, we're busy with the installation of a standby generator who will actually supply the entire administrative center with electricity to keep business up and running during load shedding. Then we have a additional standby generator, which we use at all areas as and when required if there is an emergency. And then, as I already mentioned, the sewer pump station at Zwelithemba and Noble Park, we actually received funding from the Emergency Relief Fund, and that's also been in operation. Chair, then just to demonstrate what it entails to provide the municipal administrative center with a standby generator. So the locality map there, you can see we have to amend or alter the electric supply to the premises in order to bring the standby generator into the system. The cost for our administrative center, that is almost 4 million, that's 3.7 million rand, more or less. That's just the detail of a typical generator set of 200 kVA, which is required for this facility. So we already did a lot of work, but there's still more to come for the future. So thank you, Chair. That is from our side. Welcome to ask any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Director Steyn. I understand that the mail that we sent to you was not read by anyone, and I understand that you were asked at very short notice to make this presentation, and we thank you for your presentation. However, it's going to be very difficult for this committee to exercise its necessary oversight powers without the presentation. Before I ask members if there are any questions, I'm going to request that the presentation is sent nonetheless on what you have mentioned hopefully within this week, so we can interrogate the presentation as well and send questions based on your presentation. Members, are there any comments or questions on what the Steyn has said?
Net baie dankie, Worcester, knap gedaan.
Thank you, Member Mare. Member Nkondlo?
Chair, can I support what you had suggested? And I think at this point, from where I'm sitting, I really am unable to engage with this oral presentation. So I would request that we pass, and it would mean either in another meeting they are called back for us to ask the questions, or we can then, from the presentation that will be sent to us, do write our questions and send to the municipality. But indeed, Chair, I would like to plead with you that if there is no presentation, you know, that is sent to us as members upfront, can we request that colleagues do not present so that we are assisted to do our oversight better. So I will stick on that support on your proposal, considering either they come back or we write our questions for clarity on their presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I see Member Stan, there is a presentation now flighted.
Yeah, sorry, Chair, for that. I was under the impression that I speak to my presentation. So if it's, I can quickly run through it again, if you want to see my presentation.
If you could, please, sir, we'd appreciate that.
Okay. Can you see my presentation now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, sorry.
Chair, if you make that concession, Naren, just come to me. Can he also cover the issue of the 950,000 that they received from the Energy Crisis Fund? Was that a budget they presented, or was that money given irrespective of how much they needed?
Okay, thank you, Member Marie. I'm going to ask Mr. Stein if you could just speak to the presentation, please.
Chair, can you see my presentation now?
Yes, we can, sir.
Okay, so let's start again. So yeah, thanks for the opportunity to present to this ad hoc committee on energy crisis. Breda Valley, our locality, as you aware, we is the towns of Rosseville, Worcester, De Doorings, and Toes River that falls under Breda Valley municipality. So our population, according to Census 2011, is almost 166,825 people in our area. Currently, it is much more, but that's the latest census figures. So during the 22-23 financial year, we received the amount of 950,000 from the Energy Relief Fund. And one of the members already asked the question, was that based on what we need, or was that the allocation? That's the allocation we received. Our requirements is much more, but we actually then just procure the necessary generator sets in order to meet the requirements of this fund and the budget of 950. So from the 950, we procure this two generator sets. The first one is the 35 kVA standby generator, as well as 10 bar sewer pump station, and that serves a community of more than 30,000 people. And then the second standby generator set is the one at Noble Park, a 25 kVA standby generator, and the area which it serves is a bit is much smaller than the Swellentemba, so therefore the size of the generator is also a bit smaller. So there's just the footage as evidence what we did with the 950,000 rand. Besides the two generator sets, over years we already started with installation of standby generator sets at critical service delivery points, and one of them is at Steynskloof Dam, and the bulk of all our raw water is coming from Steynskloof Dam, so there is a generator set. Rosseville Wastewater Treatment Works, currently we're busy with the upgrading of the existing treatment works, so there's also one generator set under construction. Then at the Worcester Wastewater Treatment Works, we have three installations. The Doorings Wastewater Treatment Works, there is one mobile generator set. Toes River Wastewater Treatment Works, we're currently busy with the design phase of the upgrading of the treatment works. So part of the scope of works there is also the provision or installation of a generator set. And if all goes good, we hope to have a follow the procurement process and have a contractor on site early 2024. At the Worcester Administrative Center, we're currently busy with the installation of a standby generator set. The generator itself, that's already been delivered, so we will follow now the installation of the system. Then we also have a mobile generator which we use in all areas, all 21 wards as and when required throughout the municipality. And then the Swarantemba Noble Park standby generators, that's already been discussed and form part of the Energy Relief Fund allocation. So just to demonstrate to the committee what it entails to provide a generator set to administrative office. So as per the layout, you can see we have to reroute the electric supply, the current supply. We have to make provision for additional cabling, generator building and all that stuff. So that is why the cost is quite high. So that's almost 3.8 million total cost. And then that subcontractors cabling and so on, and everything's add up to the total cost. Currently that's funded by our own funding. That's a typical detail of a mobile set, but we will do a permanent installation at this administrative building, and that's a 200 kVA. Chair, yeah, that is my presentation. So then we open for any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stan. I think we could have followed that a lot better now. Members, would you like to have, there will be an opportunity in resolutions and actions to ask any subsequent questions that you might not have now, but are there any questions that you'd like to ask of the presentation? Member Kundlo, and that's it for now. I have a question myself, so I will ask my question as well. But Member Kundlo, you're welcome to go first, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the colleague for the presentation. I think I only have two questions, Chair. One, appreciating, I think, the first slide that gives context to the population size of this municipality, something important in terms of forecasting. I just want to check whether in your current energy master plan, if you had already developed it, have you considered what would be your long-term energy need in the municipality, and whether your current plan, and I think you had indicated that the current funding is not necessarily sufficient, but the extent to which the current energy program that you are rolling out, what percentage is it able to assist you to meet the kind of energy need that you have as a municipality? I think that's my first question. My second one, Chair, I think would be on the issue of the energy leaks, not water leaks, I'm sorry. I see that a part, I think, of the generating capacity generators that the municipality is trying to secure is to try and keep their treatment plans. Are they currently having a strategy around their water leaks as the municipality? If so, can you just expand on that, on how they are managing that, also as a mechanism to try and mediate the energy pressure that comes from it? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Member Nkondlo. I just have one question. It's a more of a cosmetic question than anything else. The generators at Zuidelijk and Nobel Park, I see that they're not covered with any roofing or anything like that. I just wanted to know if that's going to be a problem with the weather or wind that gets into the generators. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Jeff, thank you very much. So the master plan, long-term energy needs for the municipality. Chair, yes, our master plan that's been approved, submitted to council, I remember that's in March, April this year, and it was approved by council. So part and parcel of the master plan, it looks at the operational and maintenance needs and also the augmentation and extension of the existing electrical network. Part of that, we also did the analysis on the current supply and demand. So in certain areas, we do have a challenge to supply, respond to the demand, and that is where we have to augment and upgrade the system. But in many areas, the system is fair. We can supply to the demand for years to come. But if we have major or quite big developments within the municipality, and one of those is the catalytic project at the TransX housing development, and it entails almost 8,500 properties which we will develop there as affordable housing. Although the municipal grid can supply to the demand, Eskom cannot supply the town of Worcester with electricity through the existing grid, and the upgrading of their grid to the town of Worcester is from Vleesdorp, and that will cost over R500 million. And I think if we update, review that cost estimate, it would be higher. We currently in discussion on provincial and national level to get a clear-cut answer and a commitment from all spheres of government for the expenditure for the upgrading of the supply to Worcester. So that is our biggest challenge. But the SSEG policy of this council, which allow the community and businesses to make use of PV, and we also approved a rate if they put electricity back in the grid, where we actually pay from the PV systems, private owners. So that gives us a bit more mileage on the supply to a development like the TransX. But we all know if you cannot store electricity in batteries or wherever, then at night and during load shedding, there is no benefit to that. So that is part and parcel of the challenge here at Breda Valley, how we will manage that system or the supply to the end user. And then question two, the losses on energy and losses on non-revenue water, as we call it, for water. Yes, we have certain plans in place to reduce non-revenue water leakages. One of that is actually we're currently busy with a replacement of water mains. That's the old asbestos cement water pipes, which we replaced by means of trenchless technology. We replaced it with HDPE pipes. So that is an ongoing process. Then we have replacement of water meters, and then also detection of water leaks, the large water leaks, which we replace as soon as possible. So that is our plans in a nutshell, which we currently have in place. Thank you, Chair. And then on your question regarding the generator sets, which is not covered, on the slide in front of us, there you can see the generator sets is actually within that box. It looks like a transformer box, which you always see at the side of the road. So yes, that surely that those are covered for weather and rain and so on. Yeah, and then for safety and security, you can also see that those premises, the wiring, that's also been replaced with by heavy duty security fibercrete wall. And then there's also alarm systems at those premises. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Steyn. Are there any further questions, members?
Yes, sir. If I may, sir, I don't know why my hand don't work here. Okay.
Okay, Member Marie, you may go ahead.
I just want to know, we're living in a very violent society, criminals all over. How do you make sure that these generators are protected? Any help from the police, armed forces? Because it's a huge expenditure, these generators, in order to operate properly. We need to keep them in good condition and prevent vandalism. What security measures are being taken to prevent them being vandalized like the rest of the country, where copper cables and those things are stolen and sold for scrapyards or wherever? Is this a sound investment, these generators? There's Wellentember sewer pump stations, the Nobel Park sewer pump station. Are those generators sufficiently and adequately shielded and protected from criminality? Thank you.
Thank you, Member Mani. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a challenge, I think, for all municipalities to protect their municipal assets. And it's always a question of the cost. Previously, we made use of warm bodies at some of our premises to protect our municipal infrastructure. But the security bill, we cannot afford that. So then we start to think outside the box how we can do things better and spend less money. And the surveillance system, we actually implemented, entails CCTV cameras, alarm systems, and even pepper spray within buildings, where you can, for example, a pump station and so on. And then we also start now to replace the wire fencing at the perimeter fencing with your fibercrete fences, and that's not the type which you use at home. That's a heavy duty, it's much heavier, it's much higher, 2.4 meters high. So it's not that easy to get into the premises through or over the wall. And then at certain sites, we also put the wiring fence on the top. So if we look at the CCTV cameras, that's not all over, for example, at the Swellentember and Nobel Park pump stations, but we must look at that. At the swimming pool at Swellentember, for example, there we went extreme and put CCTV cameras. So if there's any movement, then from a remote site, they can identify that, and then you send out the security or municipal law enforcement to respond to the call. At the two sites at Swellentember and Nobel Park, firstly, the generator that's within an enclosed steel box, as indicated here. So first of all, you must get into the site through or over the wall, which is not that easy anymore. And once you're on the premises, then you must actually try and open up the steel box. So that is how far we can go and what we can afford. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Steyn. I see no more hands, members. So thank you for your...
Mr. Speaker?
Yes, Member Murray?
would not an alarm system connected to a response unit be much better? Anybody touch those boxes to get in, it triggers the alarm. Wouldn't that be better? They will just put masks over their faces and you can't see who it is on the camera. But a trigger to trigger an alarm, as loud sounding alarm, that could scare them off. I say, why is that not being used?
Thank you. Mr. Stern, would you like to answer that?
Jay, thank you very much. We will investigate that at our buildings. Quite correct. At those doors, there's also a monitor. If you open the door and the alarm system is set, then it will make an alarm and then the response team will respond to the alarm. So that's a value. Thanks for that input. We can also investigate if we can put it on the steel doors at these installations, which are recently completed at Zwelinthemba and Noble Park. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Steyn. Thank you very much, members, and thank you, Mr. Steyn, for your presentation. We will now move on to our final presentation for this morning. Langeberg Municipality, if they are still in the meeting, I understand that the Swaziland situation is under control
now.
In
presentation mode?
No, it's in the other mode, because we can see the next slide on the right-hand side.
Is that better?
Not yet, sir. That's better. Thank you so much.
Okay, so I'll jump in and just give an overview of the slides that I will present. So I'll just discuss briefly regarding the emergency funding and then the energy infrastructure allocation and then with regards to solar PV in our municipal facilities, item number 4 there, the SSEG applications, and then alternative energy generation as a last point of information. So first of all, just the background. The Langeberg municipality consists of Robertson and Ashton and Montague and Bonnieville and McGregor. Those are the towns being supplied by the municipality, and we get our supply from Eskom at 6 point of supplies, as indicated there at the bottom, with a total notified maximum demand of approximately 75 MVA. Just for information's sake, on the screen there, the red lines, that's our 11 kV infrastructure, and that spans approximately 860 kilometers, just to give you an overview of the area that we need to serve. So with regards to the emergency funding, at that time, we required approximately 5 million. The grant funding that was approved for Langeberg was 350,000. And we've gone out to tender for our Montague Water Treatment Works facility. That's for a 300 kVA transformer. We've received tenders, which amounted to approximately 1.1 million. So we had to use our own top-up funding of almost 750,000. And then the service provider, he was appointed, the site was handed over in July, and we expect the equipment to be delivered and installed in October 2023. And then with regards to energy infrastructure allocation, no funding has been allocated to the Langeberg municipality from province, so we've utilized our own funding, and for the 2022-23 financial year, we've spent 2 million, and it was at those stations or at those facilities, the Ashton head office, our Ashton traffic office, our call center, and then our Ashton sewer pump station as well. We've budgeted approximately 9 million rand for this financial year, which is also our own funding, and we've got a tender that's in process for that. And that's primarily for water and for sewer, kind of a blended between the two there. That's all for generators. And then for the next financial year, 2024-25, there's about 9.5 million budgeted for that, and also for water and sewer. And then we've got also a public-private partnership in place. A bit more detail on that. We've got a large factory in Ashton, Tiger Brands. They supplied us with two 500 kVA generators at the water pump station and at the water treatment works in Ashton. And then in Bonnievale, we've got Lactalis, or also Parmalat. They supplied us with a 400 kVA generator, also at the water treatment works. And that's beneficial to the municipality because we can continue with service delivery, but these large customers of ours, they also have a requirement for the water, so it's beneficial for both of us. Then we've requested funding from the Western Cape government, or co-funding, and that's for solar PV at the facilities, at the municipal facilities. And the reason for that is, I would think, obvious: the running cost of the generators during load shedding, the cost of diesel is very high, and then the maintenance of the generators also comes into play, so all the operational costs for those generators. And then, of course, our environmental impact, the carbon dioxide footprint that these generators are leaving. So the project is proposed to be phased in over 3 years. Phase one would be for the administrative facilities. High-level cost estimate there is about 10.5 million. So we've got the business plan just about ready. We'll submit that very soon. And then the next phase would be, then be for the waterworks facilities, and then the last phase for the sewage works facilities. As mentioned, phased over 3 financial years. And then our energy reliance will then be in order of priority. First of all, alternative energy, and we prefer renewable there, in other words, the solar, as mentioned on this specific proposal, request for funding, co-funding. And then conventional, which is from Eskom, and then lastly from diesel generators. With regards to our SSEG applications, our regulations and application form has been updated recently, and it's available on our website to all our customers. We've got an approved feed-in tariff, 87 cents, that inclusive for energy fed into our network, that's per kilowatt hour. We've got a high volume of applications. That's purely because of the load shedding. And at the moment, we've got just under about 400 applications, totaling about 10.2 MVA that was received. And we've approved 138 of those, which is about 4.1 MVA. The challenge that we've got is with incomplete forms or incorrect information that was provided by the applicants. And that puts a lot of pressure on our administration to process and approve these forms. And we also have the limitation of the human resources available to process these forms and to follow up and to get the information from the customers, verify everything is correct. And then, of course, also to go out to site and do the inspection afterwards to ensure that everything is according to the application that was received. So we're also working with SALGA and investigating going to the online application system, which would assist with some of the administration in this whole process. With regards to our alternative energy generation, we've got approval by council to look for, to procure transactional advisors to assist the municipality with the procurement of alternative energy. We've seen that another municipality, they've gone out to tender, and the transactional advisors came in at a cost of about 23 million, which obviously is very high. And For the smaller municipalities, I think maybe above what they can afford in their budgets. So we're partnering up with SALGA and also with SALGA's partners, which is the Sustainable Energy Africa, the SEA, as well as the Southern Africa Energy Program, the SAEP, and they will be assisting us on the regulatory requirements and also possible funding sources that can assist us towards procuring these transactional advisors. Wheeling, we're also looking at implementing wheeling and adopting from the larger municipalities like City of Cape Town and or George Municipality that already has a pilot in place, and implement similar at the Langeberg Municipality as well. I think it's also worthwhile just to mention we're in the process of implementing a new ERP system, and that will be in process until early next year. So it's just something else to also take into consideration with regards to wheeling and incorporating that into our mix of energy. And then of course, as our colleagues from the other municipalities also mentioned, the Western Cape Municipal Energy Resilience Program. So we're also keeping an eye on that. And I think that's all from my side. Any questions?
Thank you very much, Mr. Lotter. Members, I'm going to open the floor for questions now. Member from the West Asian and Kondlo. In that order, Member from the West Asian.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, through you to Mr. Lotter. Mr. Lotter, I note that you, as many other municipalities, actually indicate to people that would like to go the solar route, the small-scale embedded generation or rooftop route, not to proceed without first obtaining approval from Langeberg. Perhaps if you could just tell us what that approval process will entail. You indicated that you have an administrative challenge with forms not being completed correctly or in full beforehand. My impression is that at this day and age, unfortunately, many people are so desperate to escape load shedding that they unfortunately first install and then they will apply to Langeberg for permission to link up to the grid. Perhaps if you could just tell us about what you require beforehand, and then whether you do a site inspection to approve whether your electricians go out. Do people need to pay for that inspection? Is it a free gratis process to link onto the grid? If you could just tell us the practical steps, but also in that regard, the challenges that you are experiencing. Apparently in some municipalities, there are a list of approved brand names for grid-tied inverters, but I can just, I presume that the list of suppliers in that market and the number of brands are probably fast growing. Do you have, for example, a published list of inverters that you approve of? And what do you do if people use inverters that may not appear on your pre-approved list, if you have such a list? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Member van der Westen. Member Kondlo?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presenter. Chair, on slide one, on the emergency funding, I see the colleagues are indicating that and I'm assuming that this is the funding towards the generators. And now I want to understand how are they planning to meet this shortfall, looking at what is the grant funding received and also their own funding, because as I see, it doesn't meet their need of approximately 5 million. What exactly are the plans of the municipality in that regard to meet such? And then secondly, Chair, if one then looks at the last slide, I think they were referring to, I didn't hear clearly when they say about the transactional advisor, and maybe the colleague can explain, is the 23 million that he's speaking about coming from the transactional advisor? And if so, if he can just explain much more better to me, what is this 23 million for? And then the last one is on the wheeling. Currently, do they have any requests for wheeling? And if so, can you just give us some indication of what is that, what is the quantum of that request for wheeling? And I would assume perhaps it's some companies in the municipality. I just want to understand what exactly is the demand, and what is it that as a municipality they would see, you know, as a revenue that they would make out of wheeling contract. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Member Nkondlo. Member Marais, I see you've worked your raised hand function well now, sir. Member Marais? I don't think he can hear me. Member Marais, you still on mute? One last time. No. Okay, Mr. Lothar, if you could answer those questions in the meantime, sir, please.
Yes, Mr. Chair, through you, thank you very much. I will try to answer as far as I can, and I'll also call on my colleagues here with me. My municipal manager to also assist if needed. So with regards to Member van Westhuizen's question, the SSEG and the process that we follow, the approved process or the requirements, we do say, we ask our customers to apply before procuring any equipment so that we can evaluate and issue an permission to install or authorization to install letter to them, which then would have evaluated all the equipment already. And then the equipment, we don't have a specific list. Our requirement that we've got, I do apologize for the interruption. Our requirement with regards to the equipment is that it needs to have an NRS 097 certificate, so it needs to be certified by the NRS before it can be connected to our grid. And if you've got equipment that is not NRS certified, then we advise you to do an off-grid installation with a changeover so that specific equipment is not directly connected to our grid. So with regards to the process then, after the customer filled in the application form, submitted it to the municipality, we try our best to respond within 2 weeks with a permission to install letter. And after that, there's a commissioning form that the customer must complete once they are ready to commission the system. And at that point, we will then also evaluate the information received, go out to site, and commission the system together with the customer. As I mentioned, the challenges from our side is the information that's provided on the system, on the application form, apologies, might be vague, might be incorrect. And we also request a single line diagram, which a lot of people misunderstand, and also the information provided on that is insufficient for us to evaluate that system and to issue the letter for authorization to install and then ultimately to approve that system. So after the commissioning has been done, we then issue a final letter of approval for the system, and the customer, if he opted to feed back into our grid, there's also an agreement that needs to be signed with the municipality, and that is also then concluded. So I think that's with regards to the process of SSEG, and also then equipment that's not on the list. I think that covers the questions from Member van der Westhuizen. From Member Nkondlo, the emergency funding and the shortfall of the funding, we've made provision in our capital reserve for, and we budgeted for that as well. So that would basically be our own funding then that we're using for top-up funding, and then to make provision moving forward for all the other facilities that also need generators. I think the second question there was with regards to the transactional advisors, the 23 million. I think it was another municipality that went out to tender, and we are a few steps behind, but we're keeping a close eye on what the other municipality has done, and they've also worked with, as I mentioned, with SALGA and the partners of SALGA, and the tenders that they got in was for 23 million. And that's the cost of the transactional advisors to, and I think that was for a period of 3 years, to take the municipality through the whole process of identifying the need, then compiling documents to go to market, facilitating the whole process of getting bids from market, evaluating and advising council on the preferred alternatives, and then also going to council and then getting it through, well, approved at council. And then, of course, the implementation as well. As we all know, the procurement of large-scale energy from other sources than Eskom is quite complicated, and that's where the transactional advisors come in to advise us with regards to financial and environmental and legal in all those aspects, and technical of course as well. So the 23 million is purely for the transactional advisors to assist the municipality through this procurement process to get alternative energy. I know there are other work streams as well, like the municipal energy resilience with the pilot company, the candidate municipalities. I think Stellenbosch mentioned about that as well. They are part of that. Unfortunately, Langeberg is not one of the candidate municipalities, but as I mentioned, we're keeping an eye on that and hoping that whatever is done there can be rolled out, or we can learn from that and also move forward with our municipality. The third question was with regards to the wheeling and whether we've got inquiries along wheeling. We do definitely. I think we've had from about two or three customers already who wants to wheel within our network. And then we've also had one or two maybe just testing the water to see what's the possibility of getting energy wheeled from outside through Eskom's network to the Langeberg municipality. I think we had maybe two requests along that route, and that's more for the larger customers with more national footprint. I think we're in a similar situation as Witzenberg municipality with regards to the constrained network from Eskom in our area. So we're walking a similar route there, that wheeling from the outside to Langeberg might be congested on Eskom's network, might not be possible, but certainly wheeling within the Langeberg area, that's definitely something that we can look at. I hope I got all the questions there.
Thank you very much, Mr. Luther. I think that's covered everything. Members, if there are further round of questions, but firstly, Member Marais, can you hear me?
Sorry, Mr. Chair, I just have my municipal manager would like to just maybe add something to our
sure,
answer.
Go ahead.
That's
okay. Fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon. It's Donny Libber here. I just want to emphasize what Member Marais said previously in his comments with regard to one of the previous municipalities' presentations, and that is with specific reference to the transactional advisor. He was absolutely so correct where he questioned the role of the provincial government in the Western Cape and if they cannot possibly assist the municipalities with the appointment of such an advisor. And he was 100% correct. It is absolutely ridiculous for each and every of the municipalities in the Western Cape to actually go out on tender to appoint at its own cost, and the municipalities do not have this money. If we take 23 million out of our budget, it is 23 million rand less for capital investment that we so urgently need in terms of infrastructure and service delivery. So what I'm trying to say is really, if there is a service to be provided by the provincial government on behalf of the municipalities in the Western Cape, the local municipalities, either the province or then the districts on behalf of their family of municipalities, should really go out and appoint the transactional advisors to assist the municipalities and assist with the funding for that. The municipalities on their own do not have the luxury of such additional funding to make these appointments, and these transactional advisors are very, very expensive. Apart from that, also, we sit with a situation that you saw that we initially asked for funding. We only got 350,000, and rightfully so, the member also questioned where does the balance of that come from. It is funded in this financial year's budget to make up that difference, because the need is still there. With that 350,000, we could not even afford one generator. The top-up was 1.1 million, more or less, from us. So what I'm trying to say is whatever is not funded from Western Cape or from other sources, it comes down to us, because we still need to do the continued service delivery. And that is why we've shown you over the three financial years how extensively we invest our own funding. And out of that is also born the situation that wherever possible, we are asking for grant funding or co-funding. And that is also the model for the three-year funding for all municipal infrastructure, to cut the burden on the generators, because that was also mentioned by your members. Our diesel account for running generators as a backup to conventional power is in such a case that I have to, how many times out of my operational budget, out of my road fund from which I've fixed potholes, I had to channel the money to purchase diesel every time, especially the times when the load shedding stages increases unexpectedly. And I think that is one of the biggest nightmare for a local municipality, is the continuous increase in stages where the load shedding periods are more intensified per day, more frequently, and are also longer. That means the diesel accounts are increasing with every time with the purchase with regard to that. I just wanted to mention, and I think that is not unique to us, we are all sitting in the same situation, but we are trying to manage it and also have continued service delivery with regard to all our functions that we are to serve to the community. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Liver, for that sobering remarks. We appreciate that. But thank you for your input. It's really valued. Members, are there any further follow-up questions? Member Marie, can you still not hear me?
Sorry, sir. I had something to attend to urgently, and I just missed a few of the comments. But no, I am satisfied. The speaker just spoke. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Lotter. Yes, he responded to my concerns, and I just want to say that I would like that the municipalities must con the problems they're experiencing now, they must channel it through to SALGA, and SALGA must bring it to the attention of the NCOP. I don't know what SALGA's job is if they cannot elevate the problems of municipalities to the NCOP so that they can have direct access to the ministers who make the decisions. We must get the National Minister of Energy and his other two ministers, which also have their fingers in the pie of energy supply, get them involved in assisting you to have the capacity and the expertise to bring Mosgas on board. Mosgas has its own ways of power generation. Mosgas, I said, is already in a Karoo making use of shale gas. All that, we have it at our disposal, but there's no connection between the huge capacity of national and floating down and trickling down to municipalities to assist them with their energy problems. And that is, it's not a question, it is a request that municipalities should consider. If they can get on board a private sector like they said, they have two big guys in the private sector helping them, then what about Mosgas? Why isn't Mosgas also coming to the party? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Member Marie. Before I ask Mr. Liver or Mr. Lotter to respond, members, are there any other further questions? No? Okay, Member Mr. Lotter or Mr. Liver, if you want to respond to those comments by Member Marie.
I can just say, it is again Danny Liver here, the Municipal Manager. I can just say that on every possible platform, we are trying to plead the situation of the local municipalities in the Western Cape, and our absolute aim to become municipalities that are totally resilient against load shedding. To give you an example, the previous Municipal Managers Forum that we had in Saldanha, there was a whole presentation made with regard to grant funding available to municipalities, and it is out of that that we immediately responded to get our application in for our three-year program for all our municipal infrastructure, first year to be all our municipal buildings, our libraries, our community halls, Tusong centers, everything, second year all our water works, and third year all our wastewater works, to have it fitted with solar panels. So that becomes our first entry point with regard to energy. Thereafter, conventional Eskom, and thereafter, then as a last resort, the most expensive, you know, generators with diesel. But the ultimate answer in the resilience lies in the combination of all three of those providers of energy to have an answer to any municipality. So very important that we've got access to co-funding. I think that's one of the most important initiatives at this point in time, one of the biggest risks that municipalities are facing. And if co-funding, I do not say it must be easy for a municipality just to get grant funding, and that's why we always request for co-funding, because we show what we are investing and what we believe in from ourselves, and then we ask for that to be topped up by funding from province or national government, whoever the grantor is. I think that is most important. And 100%, the private sector, they come to our door. To them, it's also, we do not want our investors from our municipality leaving our municipality to go elsewhere, because load shedding is everywhere all over South Africa. So what we plead, and we immediately entertain them in discussions and negotiations, is come to the table that we work together on a solution. And out of that, then the agreements with the big business was born, then that we share, they are reliant on our service delivery, and they also assist us with their generators. We then take over the full maintenance of that, the safety aspect, safekeeping of the assets, as well as then the continued service. And for that peace of mind, they then receive the services as they duly pay for towards the municipality. I think that is, in short, my response. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Liver. We really appreciate that. Members, if there are no further questions, I'd like to thank all our colleagues from the municipalities who've given us presentations today. It's very informative. It was very informative, and it was good to know what the mitigation factors are in dealing with the energy crisis. Officials, you are free to leave the meeting as the committee will now conduct committee business. Thank you very much and have a great day further.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you,
members.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Members, if you could just stay behind for the regular committee business that we need to take care of.
Speaker, Chairperson, I must unfortunately ask your indulgence. I have another meeting that I've got to attend very shortly, and I'm preparing for it now in connecting with the Powers Bill, that committee, and I want to ask if it's possible that I can be excused.
Sure, Member, you may be excused. Thank you. I just see Ms. Dingelizwe is still online. If she can hear me, you are free to leave, ma'am. Right, members, we will now move on to our resolutions and actions. Members, are there any takers for resolutions and actions emanating from this meeting? Member Murray so far? Member Nkondlo? And that's when, and Member van der Veste is, and we'll take those three now. Member Murray?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I would like to request, as I don't think we've touched on this in enough detail yet, is a session where we focus on green hydrogen and where we possibly invite Westgrow, who I know has been doing a bit of work on this, Sultana Bay, IDZ, Transnet, and possibly also Mosgas in the port there, to talk about their readiness and any infrastructural challenges they might face. And then, Chair, I don't think we really got a proper sense today from the municipalities, while I really do welcome their presentations and thank them for it, on what are the areas in which they need better capacitation in terms of infrastructure, in terms of supply chain, in terms of training, in terms of personnel, and maybe if we can request that in a form of a matrix from the different municipalities who presented, and that would be it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Member Murray. Member Nkondlo?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think my observation from this presentation, and I'm sure one would also think of the other ones we did the other week, I think there is a glaring issue about the funding model. And on one hand, for me, I think there are some municipalities who you can see they've got the handle on things and they are able to swim through their energy resilience program. If you consider, I think, the presentation from Drakenstein, the presentation from Stellenbosch. But I think, one, if you consider Langeberg as a municipality, you may not necessarily have the similar. So I think for me, at a certain point, we may need to bring the provincial treasury, including DDET, I think around the issue of the funding model in general of the energy resilience program. Because whilst the grant is being welcomed, there are already funding gaps, as it's indicated, and the municipalities having to then plunge into their own capital reserves to finance the energy program. And I think it's something that we need to sort of be able to engage with both Treasury and DDET. This includes the issue of the transactional advisors, because the transactional advisors also are a mechanism provided for by the DDET that is driving this particular program. And if expensive, as it has been raised by Langeberg, I think for me, it's a question of not using a one-size-fits-all. And I think maybe other municipalities would yield value from the transaction advisor in terms of bridging the capacity issues that Member Murray is referring to. Other municipalities may not be able to sort of buy that particular capacity. Why? I think the conversation was how come in the province itself not be the one that is helping all the district municipalities. So I'm just saying, Chair, I think for me, I see that conversation urgent and important, I think, based on what we've just received. This also includes the issue of procurement issues, because I think for me, I worry whether it was a timing issue, but I worry when deviation, and I think if we follow from the scope of discussions and even in the budget, that one of the things that the AG would always raise as a flag is the use of the deviation policy, because we can't use the deviation policy to actually deal with issues of time pressures, timing, as if our planning was not taken into consideration as and when we were either as the provincial government choosing to provide these grants, because this is one issue that I always pick up as a discussion and a concern raised when there is a division of revenue or there is national treasury, you know, during the time of budget adjustments, that there would always be a concern about the timing of when monies come from national treasury into province, for from province into municipalities, so that you are able to mediate that issue that then will either cause projects to delay and also require rollovers. So it can't be us now, actually, even ourselves, in doing a noble thing to grant municipalities some resources to assist them in this energy program. But it seems, you know, we are creating this particular pressure where either they will have to use deviation to try and meet up with their procurement demands, and also either have to roll over money. So I think it's also another issue one is picking up is the issue of procurement. And in that conversation with Treasury, I think it's something that needs to be actually brought on board, including the fact that I think we need, through DDET, to do proper market demand studies that can tell what is available in the market, so that indeed when our municipalities are then placed with this particular pressure of having to procure, you know, as they would, you know, that variation once again of smaller versus bigger municipality, of the complexity of the procurement that is being put together, because we know how business is driven, obviously, you know, by profit. So they look at projects that have that will derive bigger revenues for them than smaller requests. So I think those are some of the issues from a market inquiry point of view that, in my view, is very important. That if we're saying we're rolling out things, municipalities must not end up being the subjects, you know, of a stopgap in what we would have launched. And because we didn't do proper studies, then as a municipality, they will find themselves having to mediate all of these kind of challenges. And my last one, Chair, is around intergovernmental relations, because I think what Member Murray is raising and what was being raised of engaging SALCA, of dealing with issue of Petro SA and others. I think the national government has got a district development model. The provincial government has got JDA. We need to integrate that, and we need to resolve once again at the level of the energy program driven from the province, the extent to which that particular provision and mechanism that is constitutionally provided for of trying to deal speedily with such challenges, so that we also take away, you know, in these kind of issues that we try and politicize things where there is no necessity. I think the Constitution has already upfront made a provision for any of these issues, so that the three spheres of government for crises of this nature that has got implication for the citizens, for the economy, that they can be able to work together. So we must test those, unless we can be able to produce evidence that such is not happening. It becomes a really, you know, politicking if we are going to come into these platforms and create an impression that these things are not working whilst they have not been tested, unless indeed there is evidence that they've been tested and they are not working. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Member Nkondlo. I just wanted to check, Ms. Kuti, did you get all of that?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Member Bartman, I do note your comments in the chat. Thank you very much. We can ask the local government infrastructure to present on the figures, and our specialists could assist municipalities. I understand that. Thank you very much. Member van der Westhuizen.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I have a few proposed resolutions. The first one is that we note the need for municipalities to support consumers that are willing to invest in solar installations by perhaps publishing on their websites a list of approved equipment for rooftop solar installations, including approved or pre-approved brands of and models of grid-tied inverters. Then I think we also need to note the need to shift the peak demand for electricity after load sharing periods. I think we've now heard that it's not only geysers that now suddenly draw a lot of electricity after a load sharing period, but also more and more people that do not charge their batteries through solar alone, but now makes use of the Eskom grid to charge batteries through inverters, etc., which in a sense obviously defeats the whole purpose of load shedding if everybody is just going to charge batteries after load shedding of the grid. The third one is that we note the enormous cost and financial implications for all entities, but particularly in this case now municipalities, in terms of the costs of generators, including the security thereof, which is a capital cost. But then also there are various running costs, such as the diesel and maintenance, and obviously ongoing security monitoring and so on. Then also in terms of finances, the drop in income of municipalities, and we've seen the exact figures from Drakenstein being presented to us today, that no longer have electricity 24 hours of 24/7 to sell to consumers. Then, Chair, that we also note the challenges for, it seems to me, particularly our rural municipalities to procure generators and the installation services. We've heard today that a number of cases, there have been no bids received when they go out through the prescribed supply chain processes. And it is a concern for me because one would act in an ideal world, want to see a number of quotes or bids so that one can compare those different bids to ensure competitive pricing in that. And then, Chair, from an environmental point of view, if I may speak as the chair of the environmental committee as well, it is a concern, the increased number of generators that produce noise during load shedding periods, as well as, you know, polluting the air through their emissions. And I do, for example, that in some cases, neighbors have objected, particularly, you know, residential neighbors of businesses, et cetera, have objected to the smell of the fumes emanating from generators, and also obviously the noise being created by these. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Member van der Westhuizen. And Member Mosteko?
Chair, I don't have a resolution. I just want to ask a question to you. Is there a resolution like your capacity and the one that Deirdre talked about, the issue on the side about asking, and we recording it as a resolution to the committee. When are we going to do that? Because looking at the parliamentary program number, we are going to the annual report. These are the issues that you are going to be talked to in the standing committee, maybe of local government and also of the infrastructure and also in the scope. For us to put that in our resolution, are we not? Setting us as this site, because October we are starting with the annual report. I'm not thinking that, looking at the dates and times of when are we going to do that. Two, standing committee of local government have gone to other municipalities, and one of the issues that was identified, like Member Gondlo was saying, of this of the capacity, Member Mare talking about the capacity in the municipalities, of which it's something as standing committee of local government that they said they have to look at the resolution of engaging with SALDA also to deal with it, because the treasury was there and was highlighting the issue of the supply chain management side, that there is a scarce skill within most of the municipalities that are using a lot of consultants in making sure that they do what is supposed to be done, although still sometimes it is a problem. Now, I'm trying to find out how are we going to get the balance in what we are doing as a resolution here, also is a resolution in another committee. How are we going to sort of interlink that we don't do one and the same things in different committees? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Member Sego. I think I get the gist of what you are saying, but what I will do is I will consult with Ms. Clutie. And I will revert to the committee as to, you know, how we can make sure that we don't reinvent the wheel in certain aspects of our committee work in order to create that report that we're supposed to do at the end of our deliberations. But I will consult with Ms. Kuti, and I will revert to you and to the committee. Members, if there are no more further resolutions or actions, I don't see any hands. I will request that the draft minutes of our meeting on the 2nd and the 11th of August be adopted at the next committee meeting, which will be the 29th of August with the Minister of Electricity. He's asked for the start from 9 to 10:30, and I've confirmed that we are able to use that slot. So that will be... Sorry, Member Masika, I see your hand.
Sorry, ma'am. I thought you recognized me after you responded about it. Another thing that I talked about last week, I wonder if you, on the resolution that you had to me, but I realized that maybe you misinterpreted what is it that I was saying. I talked about, due to the issue of the equitable share that comes to Western Cape government,
yes,
that the budget get to be decreased year after year.
Yes.
And we've got the crisis of the energy in the whole country. So can we engage maybe the Treasury National and engage the Fiscal Commission and also the provincial ones to talk to them to say, to look if maybe there can be a model where there is a grant like your big funding in the municipalities. And listening to what Minister Namakwenshimbongo was saying and what the municipalities are saying now, to be something that maybe as the ad hoc committee we can look at moving forward, that there can be a grant until this is permanently something that has been dealt with within all the spheres of government to deal with the energy shortage within the country.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. That is a good resolution, and we will act on it. Thank you so much. I'm just reading a message here from Member Bartman, but that's fine. Members, as I previously noted, that our next meeting will be the 29th at 9 o'clock, and then we will have a meeting on the 30th to engage with the Overberg municipalities. I will ask the Cape Winelands District Municipality if they are able to join us on that meeting, as they did not join us on this meeting. Just trying to see if there are any further hands. There are not. In that case, members, I'd like to put my camera on. Oh, yeah. I'd like to thank you for your indulgence in this meeting, and thank you for your robust discussions and deliberations on the presentations, and thank you for your time. We will see each other again on the 29th of August at 9 o'clock. Have a great day further. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.